much about.
One, two, three! Oh! Here he goes! Oh! Oh!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
All right, let's pray. God of Rock, thank you for this chance to kick ass. We are your humble servants. Please give us the power to blow people's minds with our high voltage rock. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
How about the basketball game?
All right, here we go. Check it out. All right. Good times.
You will never be a greatest jockey. You have lousy voice, lousy personality, and this will not change. Okay? So on the air is not for you.
Well, I'd very much either say that. Do you do any work on Honeymoon?
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Oops, not quite our time to shine yet. Please stand by for that time.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Attention, radio listeners.
Roll another one.
Shut the front door.
Just like the other one.
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
Be about to quit.
Do you get?
And I need another.
It's our time to shine. Ah. It's our time to shine.
Now?
It's our time to shine.
Listen.
It's our time to shine.
Listen.
You're a really weird man.
Roll.
Roll
another one.
Seems kind of gay.
Just like the other one.
I don't think that means what you think it means.
This one seems to be about to end.
Really? Are you kidding me?
I don't have another cent.
You can both go to hell.
But don't bogart that joint.
You are an unstoppable good idea machine.
Just pass it around.
I think it's just straight out bitching.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Get out of here, you flies.
And now,
would you be interested in taking part in a study like this again and having the same type of drug?
Sure.
You would. It's been a very pleasant experience for you.
I'll do it anytime you want.
Do you think it would be
anytime at all?
Our feature presentation.
I miss Winnebago Man.
Oh,
he was the best.
Yeah,
he was the best.
Morning, everybody. All new Kevin and Bean show. It's a Friday morning.
It certainly is. How you doing, Lisa?
I'm good, Bean. Thanks.
Oh, I love that sound.
Yeah.
Sounded Lisa first thing in the morning. It's been a dream of mine since I was a little boy.
Yeah.
You didn't know me when you were a little boy.
Let's go back to the days before you tried to get sexy with Lisa.
Does it creep you out?
Yeah, it creeps me out. And it's recent, too. It's only in the last month or two.
Yeah, a couple
I
of
feel
months.
Like I feel like I gain ground on her by about a tenth of 1% every time I say hi, Lisa, and she says hi back. And eventually, I'm just, you know, that's going to be the tipping point. Wait, eventually, she's not going to be able to resist me.
Oh, I think she'll figure out a way to resist you.
Well, I mean, she has so far, but I'm just saying, now that I'm turning on the charm, I have a feeling that my time is going to be my time to shine here one of these days.
One man's charm is another man's creepy.
Well, maybe that's true. But Lisa is way more forgiving and accepting than you are.
I am. So it's true.
I feel like it may be working. Maybe it's working slowly,
she
but
is.
I feel like it may be working.
Slowly to the point of it'll take 500 years.
We'll be dead.
Yeah.
And right. I take comfort in that.
Then you won't care.
That's the part you're looking forward to.
Yeah.
Look, as long as I get her once before I die, that's all
yeah,
I care
that's
about.
Not gonna happen.
It doesn't even have to be before she dies. So that does open up some other opportunities, too.
Sure.
All right, here's a crazy story, kids. When's Casey Anthony get out of prison? Sunday, right?
I don't know. I haven't been following.
She goes home on Sunday, I believe.
Lately.
What's going to happen to her?
I don't know.
A lot of people hate her. No one wants to hire her.
I imagine she's going to get a big payday for an interview.
For an interview, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then after that, I really don't know.
Do you have any fears for her safety at all based on some of the footage you've seen of people down in Florida outraged by the verdict?
Does it make me a bad person if I say I hope so?
Yes.
Okay.
It does.
All right.
But is that your answer? You hope she gets killed?
I think that's what she deserves.
Okay. I find it hard to believe that someone would actually take her out.
Yeah, I do too. But Dexter does live down there.
Yeah, that's true.
He does. That's a good point. Well, here's a story who believes that she almost lost her life because she looks like Casey Anthony. She is a 26-year-old who is working at a convenience store, by the way. Her name is Samae Blackwell. Samae, S-A-M-M-A-Y. I've never seen that name before. Samae Blackwell. Woman comes into the convenience store and says, "You look like Casey Anthony." And her quote is, "I'm like, okay." Now, if she said okay, I don't know if that meant to this other woman, "I am Casey Anthony,"
yeah,
or if she was just trying to say, "Okay, you think I look like Casey Anthony."
Right.
But when she came out of work that night at around 10 o'clock, that woman was waiting for her in the parking lot, followed her as she left work.
Oh, no.
And started ramming her with her automobile while they were driving.
Wow.
Caught up to her and started smashing her car into her as they left the parking lot.
Wow.
She hit me again, causing my vehicle to flip 2.5 times, landing on the driver's side, and I laid there playing dead. How about that?
Wow.
Police apparently were notified, maybe by somebody who saw the accident happen, and they were able to catch up with, find and arrest the woman, rather, charged her with assault and battery with a deadly weapon. She told police that she was trying to save the children.
Oh.
Okay, crazy.
So the woman whose car was flipped said, "I was trying to hurt babies. I was killing babies, and she was going to stop it before it happened again." And this woman, of course, has a family of her own and her own daughter.
Sure.
And she said she very nearly did take me away from my kids.
Yeah.
She very nearly killed me. One of the strange things about this story is it happened in Oklahoma.
What? It wasn't even in Florida?
It was not in Florida, so I don't know. I mean, I don't know why this woman thought that Casey Anthony was already out of jail and had a job in a convenience store in Oklahoma, but that's apparently what happened.
Well, I think we've established this woman isn't quite right in the head.
Yeah, that's
when she
correct.
Thinks she's killing children.
Ask me that question again, Gibby, about her dying. Ask me that again.
Do you hope she gets killed?
No, but I hope she's as dumb as OJ. And gets caught
and
for
does something
else.
I'll tell you what, she's going to burn right through any money she gets for a big interview.
No question.
You know that.
Because she's a party girl?
Yeah. Yeah, she's going to be a down and out on her luck in 2 years.
Yeah. And that's when she'll make a misstep. She'll do something else. She'll get caught. She'll go to jail for that.
And I've heard other people say, how much does an attractive young woman have to be hated in this country for guys to not want to see her in porn? I mean, that really says something about the position
really
she's in, right?
Yeah.
I'm just surprised that they're not charging her with attempted murder, this woman, instead of just assault and battery with a deadly weapon.
Yeah,
you?
That's true.
I mean,
yeah.
It sounded like her intent was to kill her, certainly. Anyway, the victim says, I don't think I look that much like her. So what about people who look more like her and live closer to Florida instead of Oklahoma? What's going to happen then?
Bad news.
So I guess,
we're
going to find out.
You look at the TV and somebody's on trial for murder, and then you go, that person looks just like me.
Yes. Oh yeah,
that would suck so much.
Yeah.
I mean, they show a picture of her in this story, and she is about the same height, a similar build. I don't think her face looks that much like her, but she is. You know, I mean, there's millions of those little brunettes running around, and I guess you could say in some way
porn?
They all look like. I hope she does. But anyway, I saw that and I thought, wow, what is going to happen? I mean, I guarantee there's going to be people waiting outside that jail for her.
If she's smart, whoever pays her that much money, she'll do the interview and then just disappear.
Yeah.
At least for 5 years.
How do you disappear if everyone knows what you look like?
Well, I would go to another country.
Another country?
To another continent. Where I would go.
Yeah.
I'd go live in the North Pole in an igloo for 5 years.
And maybe some plastic surgery, too.
Yeah. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBean Show, shall we?
Give me a little dick, will you? Give me some dick.
Rather not. I do have Eddie Izzard, comedian Eddie
Izzard.
Yeah, right.
That's close.
I love him.
He's going to be in studio. Very excited about that. We have Mark Hoppus from Blink-182 talking about their new song.
What do you think of it, Kevin?
Long time coming. Yeah. I like it. You?
Yeah, I do too. Although, once again, the music is peppy. If you listen to the lyrics, it's very sad.
I know. I like that. There's a lot of songs like that where you go, wow, this is an upbeat song and it makes me happy. And then you start listening to the lyrics and you go, what?
Yeah, we're eager to talk to Mark again because I guess the album is done or close to it and find out more about what their plans are. Of course, they got a big tour coming up. I mean, it's for reals. They're back together and they're out with My Chemical Romance, and I'm very excited to have Blink back on the radio.
We have Corey Taylor on the program today. He, of course, the lead singer of Slipknot and Stone Sour, and he's written a new book.
Oh, interesting.
We're going to talk to him. We need the audience to catch us up on Harry Potter because... Yes. I'm confused. You know, and a person like me, my mind just, it all starts jumbling together into a big mass of information, none of which makes sense.
I read all the books,
you
and
did. I
don't remember.
Okay. I only watched the movies, so it's worse for me.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to get caught up on that as that movie opens today. And we also have your tickets for LA Rising.
Nice.
How about that? So we'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Going to talk about the new Harry Potter movie coming up after the top of the hour, and I will again apologize and explain why Harry Potter fans are out to kill me. So yes. I got that to look forward to. I may not be leaving my house without changing my name and getting plastic surgery, which could do nothing but improve everything, by the way. First, though, time for a look at the Showbiz Beat. Our friend Ralph Garman joins us in studio. Hey, Ralph.
Your personality would still be the same, though, right?
Not if
you
they
hope.
Killed him.
If they killed him. I know things are tough. I know times are tough.
Yeah.
I know even companies have to try to save a buck and, you know, try to downsize and cut costs.
Right.
But we got to talk to the people that run this particular
what?
Radio station.
What happened?
I don't know if you've noticed now, but there's been a change made in the bathroom tissue that's used in the restrooms.
Yeah.
Somehow they have decided to pick up few cases of some World War II era Russian surplus military grade toilet paper.
Yeah.
And I saw a poor young woman leaving here in an ambulance yesterday. had just grated her vagina right off.
It is cheese grater like.
It is painful.
Yeah.
I've just taken a going in my pants now.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Oh, it's better.
No, but
better.
Not for us.
Oh, no, it's fine. I put one of those air fresheners they use in a car. Looks like an evergreen tree. I just put that around my neck.
Okay.
Just walk down the hallways. It's unbelievable. I'm starting to bring sandpaper from home to wipe with because it's more comfortable. I don't know when they made this change, and I'm sure it's cheaper.
Sure.
But people are getting hurt, that's all I'm saying.
How much cheaper can it be to go from whatever it was before, 2-ply to 1-ply?
Does it
matter? It's not just 1-ply.
Yeah, it's not even...
It's 1-ply... How can I phrase this?
It really is sandpaper.
It is a coarse pulp paper as opposed to a soft tissue toilet paper.
Yeah.
It's inexplicably hard.
It does damage.
It is ridiculous. It is unnecessarily rough. It's as if... I think this is the toilet paper they use in the Saw movies. When the people that Jigsaw had in the basement, this is the toilet paper he would make them use.
You want to play a game? You have to go to the bathroom, but you have to use this paper. What do you do?
And people's colons were exploding and things because they'd rather not go than to use that paper. That's all I'm saying.
Wow, that's tough.
Just saying. All right, let's move on with some showbiz news.
Time to start bringing your own from home for reals?
I'm serious. It's not good.
Hey, I had to buy a clock yesterday, Morgan MB. Because our clock doesn't work.
Yeah.
Really?
It would have taken us a year to get a clock the proper way, going through channels. So I just bought it and brought it.
It's hard for corporations.
It really
is. They're really having a hard time. When the rest of us are suffering the economy, corporations are only making record profits. Sharon Osbourne, she's a happy gal. You know why? Soft toilet paper.
Sure.
That's why she's happy. Another reason she's happy is that in 2004... burglars broke into the Osborne family home and stole her 10-carat Tiffany wedding band that Ozzy had given her.
Wow. Let's be honest. She gave it to herself.
He makes the money.
I know, but did he know what was going on?
I think he did.
All right.
In 2004, maybe not. Anyway, the South Yorkshire Police Department called her up this week and said, hey, guess what? After 7 years, we got your ring back.
Seven years?
How
happened to the 48-hour rule? Whatever that is, you got to get it right away or it's gone.
Apparently, they busted a burglary ring and recovered over $1.5 million worth of jewelry this week.
Wow.
Sharon reportedly burst into tears of joy after seeing it and said she waited 25 years to get that ring from Ozzy. And when she finally got it, because he never gave her a wedding ring, apparently. And then when she finally got it, she got it stolen. So she was upset about it, but now she's got it back.
Let me ask you this. Was it insured, which means she would have gotten another one, and now she's got two?
I don't know about that.
That'd be sweet.
I don't know. I think if it's insured and then you get it back, you have to pay back the insurance company.
Oh, you do?
I think so.
You have to reimburse them. Big talk about the kids from Glee moving on after this season. Apparently, Kurt and Rachel and Finn are all graduating from the high school there on Glee. And people are saying it's a tragedy.
It's a tragedy, is what they're saying.
It's Gleepocalypse, they're calling it. Gleemageddon, some are calling it. However, not all is gloomy on the horizon, because I knew it was too good to be true. I knew they weren't actually going to leave the show. What may happen, actually...
Yeah, because they are the stars.
They are the stars. That instead of leaving the high school, well, they will leave the high school, but apparently there is a talks about a spinoff show.
Ah.
See, what they would do there is they would have him graduate from high school. But you may remember this season there was an episode where Lea Michele and Chris Colfer, who plays Kurt on the show, headed off to New York and talked about moving there to try their luck in the Big Apple and to be on Broadway and things like that. That's what the spinoff would be. Lea Michele's character and Chris Colfer would move to New York and try to become Broadway stars. And then that show would follow that experience. And they would still get to sing and dance and...
Now, will the spinoff, does it say whether the spinoff will suck as much as the original show or no?
You, sir. Come on now.
Come on. Coming on with the come on.
Is Rachel's nose going along or is it staying?
Wow, it's a rough room. Looks like the story I reported yesterday that Mila Kunis had to cancel her date with the Marine Corps sergeant for the Marine Corps ball was false.
Really? Oh, good. Something you said was false?
Turns out Mila Kunis is going to the Marine Corps ball with Sergeant Scott Moore after all. She set the record straight yesterday. Apparently, the story was going around quite a bit. In fact, I reported it here that due to a filming schedule conflict, she had to cancel her date. But word is, it's game on. So Sergeant Scott Moore will be walking into that ball with Mila Kunis on his arm. How do you like him now? I don't know if you saw it or not yesterday, but there was another story about a female Marine who had posted a YouTube video asking Justin Timberlake to take her to the ball.
Right.
Because the whole thing happened, the whole story came up when Justin and Mila were doing press for their Friends with Benefits movie.
Right.
And Justin was saying to her, you have to do it. You have to do it for your country. You got to do it.
That's funny.
And so now this female Marine has put a video up on YouTube saying, well, Justin, if that's how you feel, I had a date for the ball. I think maybe you should take me. No word yet on whether Justin will be taking the less than supermodel female Marine to the ball.
Doesn't matter, man. She's a Marine.
That's what I'm saying.
You go.
Give her some mad love, won't ya? And Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 is already the biggest money-making film in history. No, I'm just kidding.
What?
It is, however, tracking 82% ahead of the last Harry Potter film when it comes to pre-sales and international box office, especially international box office. In one day, on Wednesday, the movie made $43 million overseas.
Wow.
Now, if you take in the $32 million it made in advance sales here in America, and keep in mind the movie opened at midnight last night at 3,800.
Wait, that movie's open?
Harry Potter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Who knew?
Was this in the news?
3,800 theaters across the U.S. and Canada. So we'll know by the end of the day whether it's the biggest opening ever for a motion picture.
I'm sure it's a pretty good guess.
I think it'll do pretty well. They'll make their money back.
Yeah.
That's about it. Today's celebrity birthdays, Terry O'Quinn. What a great actor. Not only Locke from Lost, but he was on West Wing and Alias and a long, long career. Super talented guy. 59 years old today. Forrest Whitaker, another talented actor.
Another great actor.
He is 50. Brigitte Nielsen.
Less of a good actor.
Great actors at this point. She's 48. Jason Bonham, a drummer and son of another legendary drummer, the drummer for Led Zeppelin. Bonzo Bonham, as they used to call him. 45 years old today. Eddie Griffin. Funny Man is 43. Scott Foley of Felicity fame is 39. Brian Austin Green celebrates his 38th birthday. And Ray Toro, guitarist for My Chemical Romance, is 34. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Eddie Izzard, very funny comedian on the program today. Also, Ralph's got the movie because it's Friday. And Corey Taylor from the band Slipknot joins us later this hour. So I had a fun time yesterday, Kevin, responding to all the emails from the Harry Potter fans.
Oh, I'm sure you did.
Look.
Well done, my friend.
Here's my whole thing. I don't know anything about Harry Potter.
Right.
Okay. I've never read the books. I've never seen the movies.
Right.
But I made a joke on the air yesterday about something outrageous that happened in the final movie.
Right.
And I was just making it up. But now people say I'm spoiling the movie for them.
Well,
the people are saying you're ruining the movie for me by what you told me on the air, even though I just made it up.
Here's the thing that happened. What you made up happens.
Kind of does.
May or may not happen.
May or may not happen, but does. So you didn't know it at the time because you
sure
were
didn't.
Just making a joke. But it turned out to be relatively true.
But if the people who don't know don't know, and Bean doesn't know, then how does anybody know that it's anything but a joke?
That's
people didn't think it was a joke. For whatever reason, people thought I was being serious and that I was actually giving out a spoiler alert. So all day I was responding to emails. Oh, I'll just give you this one.
All right, good.
Dear Kevin, Bean, and Ralph, I'm so pissed at all three of you. Just because you jackholes spoiled the final Harry Potter film from one person doesn't mean you have to share the goddamn spoiler with the whole listening audience. A lot of us have only seen the movies and have been waiting to watch the final film without knowing the ending. Well, you just effed that up for all of us. You could have just said, we gave away the ending. You didn't have to say what the ending was. It's especially nice how you say that and then say, spoiler alert. And then you rub salt in my wounds by deciding to play the Black Eyed Peas afterwards. This is the most unconscionable thing you've ever done. Now, here's what David wants to have happen to us. Oh, hang on a second.
About to die? You all right? Need some help?
I'm not well today.
Do you need the Heimlich?
Right now, I just wish that homeless guys would break into your cars and take a massive homeless guy crap all over your upholstery.
Wow.
That's so much then worse I hope than you're a regular guy crap.
I hope that doesn't happen.
Then I hope you're outside somewhere eating a really delicious sandwich, and after one bite, a bird comes. It takes it right out of your hands, and while it's flying away, it takes a giant bird crap right out of your best clothes. Because that's what you wear when you eat sandwiches outside. I hope you slip on dog crap on a sidewalk. And then when you're lying on the ground, another dog comes up and craps on your spoiler-spewing mouth.
A lot of that.
I think you get the theme here. I hope you guys experience a literal steady flow of crap because you deserve it for giving away spoilers of that level. Not cool. F you guys and F the Black Eyed Peas. That says David.
Look, here's the thing. I'm the same as that first emailer that you wrote, which is I've never read the books. I do love the movies. I can't wait for this movie. And I've been trying to avoid what happens in this movie the whole time.
Right.
But I have found out that it's impossible. I mean, it is.
To keep everything straight.
No. Just to avoid what happens, because there's so much talk out there, and it's everywhere. It's places that you wouldn't normally think it's going to be, whether it's a scroll on CNN or whatever. You're reading a book or you're watching SportsCenter and a commercial comes up. There's no way to avoid what happens in this movie. And the book was out, was it a year ago?
More than a year
ago. Oh, longer than that even. Yeah.
Because I read, like I told you before, I read the books.
Right.
I've seen the movies. When Bean said that, I couldn't remember if that was the answer or not.
That's because
I actually don't remember.
That's because we don't know.
I don't.
So
I don't know.
I tried to scramble my, scan my brain. Scramble. That was more accurate. I tried to scan my brain and try to remember exactly where we are in the Harry Potter story.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because if I'm going to go today, this is the final movie. This is the ending. And this is what's in my mind. And because of that, we're going to need your help at 1-800-520-1067 just to catch us up on where we are. This is pretty much what I remember from all of the movies.
Did you ever make anything happen?
Help me!
Voldemort has chosen prison.
Ah! Don't worry.
What? Terrible thing.
Bring him to me.
Magic.
Expecto Patronum!
Potter.
Eternal glory.
Night to night.
Wicked.
Harry Potter.
In my life, I've seen things.
The Dark Lord.
Harry!
After you, Mr. Potter.
Witchcraft and wizardry.
Only I can live forever.
Wow. I want to fight.
My chamber of...
Harry!
It has come to die.
Wizard army.
Mr. Potter.
Fight back! He was their friend!
Let's finish this the way we started.
It's over.
That's it. That's what I remember. Now, that's... It's jumbled up a little bit. I'm not positive.
That hasn't helped.
I don't remember where we are in literal... what do you call it? In the linear story.
Yeah.
I'm completely lost. So where are we right now?
What happened at the end of the last movie?
At the end of the last movie, if I remember correctly, he met No-Nos.
Well, okay.
That's all I remember.
He's met No-Nos before.
He has, okay.
Yeah.
No Nose, of course, is Voldemort.
Yeah. He who shall not be named.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But other than that, you're going to have to help me out at 1-800-520-1067. Maybe you can help us with the storyline so far. Where are we?
Okay.
How did we get here? And what do we need to know when we walk into the movie theater? And I'm guessing that we have some people who saw it, I don't know, at midnight last night.
Right. Yeah.
So don't tell us how it ends.
Yeah. Don't be a spoiler alert, because people get very angry if that happens.
And a bird will crap on you if you do.
But I'm very, very confused exactly where we are in the storyline. So we thought we would get some help from you, the listeners. Let's start with Carrie and see if she can help us out. Hi, Carrie.
Hello.
Hi. I'm lost. I'm lost.
Where
are we?
Well, right now, I guess the beginning of the second part is they need to find 4 more Horcruxes.
Oh, I forgot about the Horcruxes.
Oh, what's a Horcrux? That's a necklace that whores wear? What is that?
Pretty much. It kills you, just like a whore, but you need to... it's part of Voldemort.
He put pieces of himself in all of them.
Yeah.
And unless you find them all, you can't kill him.
So Voldemort split himself into a bunch of pieces and put them in something called Horcruxes and then hid them.
Yeah, there's 7.
Was it pieces of his soul?
Yeah, Lisa, it was pieces of his soul.
Wasn't it?
He put his soul out on the table and split it into 7 parts. I don't know.
No, I was asking Carrie.
Oh. Carrie, is it pieces of his soul?
Yes, it's 7 pieces of his soul. They've already destroyed like 2 or 3.
Okay.
So they need to find the remaining ones so they can kill. If they don't, they don't kill him.
Yeah. Okay. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to kill
him. Did he put one of his noses in the Horcrux? Because
I'm not sure.
Not sure. All right. Thank you for the help.
All right.
So first of all, I apologize to Lisa, Kevin. First of all,
I'm wrong, Lisa. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
And second of all, imagine how crazy this plot line sounds to somebody who's never seen any of the movies or read any of the books.
Yeah, I'm sure. That's the way most movies that are complex are. They sound so stupid.
Yeah.
Right.
But help us out. 1-800-520-1067. What happens? What do we need to know before we go into this movie today? You know what? I know that Muse loves barbecues. Did you know that?
I have not heard that. Really?
They love it like nothing else. It's really bizarre. Because they're from England. And I don't know. There's a lot of barbecuing going on there, but they love it. Huh. So all weekend long here on the world-famous K-Rock, you can listen for tickets to L.A. Rising. All week, I should say, which is today. And the exclusive K-Rock LA Rising pre-show barbecue with
Sweet
Rage Against the Machine, Muse, and Rise Against.
Sweet.
So listen this morning between 8 and 8:30 if you'd like to win those for Knights of Sidonia by Muse. And then we've got a contest as well. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 6:24.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin Bean Show on a Friday. Corey Taylor from Slipknot joins us in a few minutes. A very special Friday for folks who have been obsessed with Harry Potter since the first book came out in 1999. And I'm not the Harry Potter guy. Kevin has been to all the movies.
And loved them.
And loved them, right. But you're anticipating going this weekend and you're a little lost. You haven't figured it out.
Well,
because
I'm not the guy that keeps everything straight. Like season to season with Lost. I had no idea where I was going. I might as well have just been starting from scratch each season.
Yeah. So there was the Goblet of Fire and then the Order of the Phoenix and the Half-Blood Prince and then Hermione Gets Her Boobs. I mean, I remember some of the titles of the movies.
Gets Her Boobs was one of the titles.
They didn't make that one. They should have made that one of the movies.
She did become uncomfortably hot at one point, though.
That is for damn sure. Since you saw her as a little girl, it did get kind of strange for a while.
And then there's Ginger, their friend, and then there's Old Man Beard. I don't remember if he's alive or not. So
I think you're more confused than you think.
What's happening?
We're looking for help on what Kevin needs to know as a primer, or as Harry Potter would say, a primer, as he goes into the movie city. Let's start with Billy. Billy's on line 3. She has something else, I think, that will add to what Carrie, our last caller, said.
Okay. Billy.
Hi.
Help.
Okay. Well, the movie's called The Deathly Hallows because Voldemort is trying to find the 3 Deathly Hallows to help him kill Harry.
What are the Deathly Hallows?
One is the Invisible Cloak, which you've seen Harry use since the beginning of the movie.
Right.
All the movies. And then the second one is the wand that's supposed to be able to kill anybody, and that's what you see Voldemort find at the end of the last movie.
Right.
Oh.
And then the third one is a ring that...
Is a what?
It's a ring.
A ring. Okay.
And if you...
And they have to throw that ring into the fire because if it gets into the wrong people's hands...
No. Now you're confusing Lord of the Rings, Kevin. Stay on target.
All right.
The ring is if you turn the ring, it brings people back from the dead. And nice. If he gets all three of them, he can finally kill Harry because the other wands and everything, he hasn't been able to kill.
Okay, so he has everything. Did he find all three last time?
No, Harry still has the cloak.
He still has the cloak, okay.
He found the wand, and then I think, I can't remember if it happened in the last movie, but
see,
Harry
it happens
has the
to
ring.
You too. Harry has the ring, so Harry has everything.
Except the wand, and that's the main one because that's supposed to be able to kill anybody.
I got you.
And
that's okay, all he has to do is look at Hermione, he'll have the wand.
See what you did? Because that was some kind of a sex joke, I think.
Thank you, Billy. We appreciate that. Yeah. Let's try, let's talk about Jessica real quick. You were talking about how Voldemort has no nose, which confused me.
Yeah, what's happening with no nose?
Not being a guy, but what, Jessica, what's the deal with that?
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Sorry, you guys are just making me laugh at that no nose joke.
Why does Voldemort have no nose? He has two holes there. He's worse than Michael Jackson. Why doesn't he have a nose?
The reason why he doesn't have a nose is because his soul got broken up into seven parts. You know how the first girl called and said that?
Yeah, but does his nose go with one of his soul parts?
Well, it's because he pretty much broke himself up and kind of turned himself into a snake. Not really into a snake, but because he affiliates himself with the snake.
He can change into a snake.
No. He has a snake. But if he's a snake,
he can't have a nose?
Well, they don't really have noses.
It has to do with the fact that he destroyed his body to preserve his soul into the seven horcruxes.
Did he destroy any other part of his body besides his nose? Because he looks normal to me in every other way.
Well, it's just he's supposed to have snake-like resemblances.
I see.
Snake-like features. Okay. That's why his nose is like that.
I got you. But he does have fangs, a snake would.
But Voldemort does cut off Harry's hand with a lightsaber and tell him he's his father, right?
No, that's Star Wars.
What?
Does Voldemort at any point say, I am your father? Does that happen? No. Okay.
It might.
All right. Jessica's not very helpful. Thank you, though, Jessica, for the call.
All right, let's take Brian's call. He's on line one because he has something to add to where Harry is at the start of the movie that I didn't know.
Okay, good.
Hey, Brian, what's going on, man?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
So, basically, in the last movie where we left off is Harry Potter, Hermione, and Ron are going through all sorts of ridiculous paths to find these Horcruxes. And meanwhile, they get separated from the whole wizarding community. Because they just have such an immense chase going on behind them.
Right.
So they're lost out in the mountains, and there's some risky business going on between the three of them. Kind of both of them are going after Hermione.
Why wouldn't you? She's impossibly hot all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah.
But if you got Harry Potter or the ginger, who do you go for? You go for Harry.
Oh, yeah. No brainer, right?
Dude's a freaking hero. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, so they're all trying to get back to the wizarding community, find these Horcruxes, but they can't because they'll get caught by the Death Eaters. So
who are the Death Eaters? Is that are the Death Eaters those smoke monsters?
Oh yeah, you know.
Okay,
well, not really, but
okay. No, okay.
No, the Death Eaters are the.
They look like the smoke monsters. All right.
They're the wizards that are on. The side of he who shall not be named, Voldemort's side.
Yeah, they're his, that's like, the Death Eaters minion team.
Okay.
So, the start of this movie should entail something around the lines of getting back into the community. They're going to have to get back into Hogwarts, which is now being run by Death Eaters.
Oh, because I saw the trailer that looked like they were in charge of Hogwarts, and they were trying to defend it against an attack from No-Nos.
Well, I don't want to give anything away.
I'm saying that was in the trailer.
That's going to be involved in this movie. They're going to, at some point, get back into the school.
Okay.
But, you know, I can't tell you how that happened.
All right,
Spoilers!
No, I think I'm ready. I think I'm ready now. I think I've got it all straight.
Thank you for the call on that, Brian. Here's the final word on this that I'm thinking as I'm listening to you Harry Potter fans discuss your book. You're no longer allowed to make fun of Ralph with his geek comic book movies. This is just as honked up as Pete, whatever the villain's name was for Captain America. This is just as honked up as that.
Yeah, but it's good. This is really good.
Yeah.
Carmageddon.
Carmageddon. We know. We got it. It's world famous K-Rock at 20 minutes till 7 o'clock.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. Rob's got the movie beat coming up later on today. Also, our friend Mark Hoppus from Blink-182 is going to be joining us. Of course, yesterday afternoon, we world premiered the brand new Blink-182 song called Up All Night. So kind of a new, well, I won't say a new mature direction because we've heard songs like this from the band before, but it certainly is in that canon of the mature songs. It's not one of the pee-pee poo-poo songs.
And we've been waiting for so long for a new Blink. I mean, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
So it's exciting to actually have it.
I think it's been over 8 years since they put out their last
Has
song.
Has it been that long?
Wow. Over 8 years, yeah. So
it's almost like they broke up or something and like went and did other things.
So Mark Hoppus joins us next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, comedian Eddie Izzard is going to be joining us. And by the way, Lisa, speaking of Carmageddon, which is the freeway in Southern California that's going to be closed this weekend, shouldn't you leave now to get home, or are you going to be stuck at the station all week?
I think we're going to be okay.
Yes.
You think you're going
to
make it?
I think the ramps start to close at 7 p.m.
Okay. We're all right.
So, yeah, we should be fine. And then
I'm just saying leave now.
All right. We have Corey.
Okay.
Fantastic. Kevin and Bean Show, happy to welcome Corey Taylor to the program, of course, from the band Slipknot and Stone Sour. And now, a best-selling author. The book is called Seven Deadly Sins, Settling the Argument Between Born Bad and Damaged Good. Hey, Corey, welcome to the show, man. How are you?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Great to talk to you. Interesting concept for a book. It is not an autobiography, which is what some people might have expected, but tell us what you're doing with this.
It's basically me kind of making the argument that these quote-unquote seven deadly sins are not sins at all. These are human emotion, human traits, human characteristics. There are ways for us to make mistakes and learn from them so we can be better people, you know? And actually, it's more to the point to call them seven mild mistakes than seven deadly sins.
Mild mistakes.
Yeah.
That certainly makes you feel better about them, I'll tell you that.
And that's the thing, you know? I mean, so many people carry so much guilt for things that they really don't need to. I'm not saying that they can't lead to sin, but at the end of the day, the emotion is not the sin, the action is. And if we start taking more responsibility for our actions instead of the way we feel, then maybe we'll all be a little better off.
Okay, let me throw out this example to you, Corey, and you tell me how you come down on something like this. Lust, for instance, is a sin that almost every human has at one point or another. And you may remember hearing about President Jimmy Carter, who gave a very candid interview to Playboy magazine talking about all the lust he had in his heart. And people were very hard on him for that, for admitting that he felt those feelings, because some people seem to think you shouldn't feel any lust if you're, you know, walking with God.
Yeah. And then 20 years later, we have Mr. Clinton.
Yeah.
Cigars.
Yeah, he acted on his lust.
Exactly.
But so you're not saying you shouldn't feel lust. You're saying that's a perfectly normal part of being a human being, but it's how, whether you act or not, that makes the difference between you're right or wrong.
That's exactly it. You know, I mean, we all feel these things. Basically, what they're trying to say with the seven deadly sins is that it's a sin to be human. And I think that's a crock.
What is it that caught your attention that made you think, I need to write this book?
You know, it was something that I've just wanted to do for a really long time. And, I mean, the concept came out of a conversation with my agent, who was actually helping me do this. Because originally I was just going to do a book about philosophy. And he was like, you know what, that's going to weigh 1,000 pounds and be about 1,000 pages long. Let's try and narrow this down a little bit. And we were just kind of spitballing stuff back and forth. And he's the one that actually shot out. He was like, why don't you write about the seven deadly sins? And I said, I'll do it if I can take it from the devil's advocate standpoint and, you know, basically kind of take them to task, because I didn't want to write the same tired memoir about, you know, the seven deadly sins, or just do a life story, because I'm 37 and I'm not done yet. You know?
Oh, come on now. There are people that are 17, 18 writing life stories.
Yeah, and they're idiots.
This is the voice of Corey Taylor on the phone from, of course, the band Slipknot and Stone Sour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. How's your self-esteem these days, Corey?
Pretty good, man. I feel really, really good about where I'm at in my life. You know, not just from a professional standpoint. I mean, from being a father and being a husband and just being, you know, just doing my very best to be a good person. You know, everybody wants to talk about how crazy they are or how wasted they are.
Right.
You know, where are the good people in the world?
That's not exciting.
You know what I'm saying? Who cares? There's enough excitement in the world with war and all the other idiots. Why can't people you know, why can't somebody stand up and go, you know what, I'm out of my mind, but I'm intelligent, I'm a good person, I'm fun to be around. What's the problem with that? And you got
right.
to say about it, say it to my face.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Or your mask. Either way.
You can have an attitude. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right. The reason I ask the self-esteem question is because I look at a guy with a life like yours and I'm thinking there are many people in your position who are in, you know, who are extremely popular, extremely famous, in your case, fronting, you know, multi-platinum bands, who yeah. think they're not worthy of all of that, who think they don't deserve it, or who somehow think they're a fraud. And then the other part of your life that made me think of it is, you know, you're a guy who's been through some very, very dark times, the early overdoses as a teenager and other things. Yeah. And I just wondered if you were able to kind of get past all of that and come out on the other side feeling pretty good about who Corey Taylor is, and it sounds like you have.
It took a long time, you know. I mean, you know, when you grow up like that, I mean, you're dealing with so many issues. And then, obviously, you get into this industry where, in a lot of ways, so many things are set up to prop you up and turn you into almost an ugly caricature of who you are.
Right.
But you have to be strong enough to realize who you are. And that's, I think, where I was lucky enough that I was able to not only let go of a lot of the things that I had, you know, kind of felt about how I grew up and the things that I've gone through in this industry and whatnot, and just be strong enough to go, you know what, I'm going to be okay. And I'm looking more down the road than back in the rearview mirror, basically.
Do you think it's more difficult, especially from the press standpoint, in the bands that you're in, Slipknot especially, do you think it's easier for them to exaggerate how bad things must be for you or whatever? Or
Yeah. I mean, it's sensationalism,
right?
End of the day, you know, and we're seeing people in the world like Rupert Murdoch get in trouble for doing stuff like that and doing these heinous things. I just got back from England, so all anybody's talking about is the tapping, the phone tapping,
mm-hmm.
and now
right,
they're talking
right.
about that here in the States, which I knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
So it's like, how far is too far? How far do you go before you are just doing something to sensationalize it? You know,
yeah.
it's you've stopped living and you've started promoting, basically. And to me, that is the worst kind of lie.
The book is called Seven Deadly Sins, Settling the Argument Between Born Bad and Damaged Goods. And although you can tell Corey is very smart and writes about some very deep issues, there are also a lot of terrific stories about his life and his life in the music industry in the book. And you ought to check it out. It's available everywhere in stores now. Corey, we could go on all day, man, but I know you've got to go, but you're welcome back anytime on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for coming on.
And thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 6:56.
Hey, party people. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph joins us every hour about this time for the Showbiz Beat. And Ralph, you're doing it live again this weekend. You're back on Saturday nights, right?
Saturday night up at the John Lovitz Comedy Club at Universal City Walk. 10 o'clock, 10 p.m. Saturday night. Listen, I know. Carmageddon. I get it. Get over it, people. Find a way. Leave a little early.
I'm guessing there are a lot of people in the area that it wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're...
You live in the valley?
Right off the 101 in the San Fernando Valley.
Right.
Universal Studios is pretty easy to get to. And it's 10 o'clock at night. I can't imagine there's going to be giant traffic jams at 10 o'clock
no,
at night.
No, there won't be any.
So, Saturday night, 10 p.m., me, Kevin Smith, doing Hollywood Babylon up at City Walk. We'd love to have you stop by. You can go to BabylonRalph.com or BabylonKev.com and buy your tickets there. But it's the last show in L.A., well, for a couple weeks, and then we're doing it down in San Diego at the Comic-Con at the House of Blues.
We are going to Comic-Con in San Diego.
Woo! Cleveland. Wow.
Speaking of comics, Captain America! The First Avenger!
You're not excited about this, are you?
Oh, I can't wait. Opens next weekend, not this weekend, the 22nd of July. It'll be in theaters everywhere. However, they got the red carpet world premiere going on the 19th at the El Capitan Theater in Hollywood. I've got a pair of passes to give away, but here's the thing. There's some debate amongst the Kevin and Bean family.
Oh, there's no debate. It's science.
As to whether there are any girls out there who are comic book fans, any fangirls out there who would like to go to the Captain America red carpet world premiere with Chris Evans and Hugo Weaving and Tommy Lee Jones.
We're basing that on the 99% men who have won
well,
so
I've
far.
I've gotten emails from girls saying, we're trying to get through, but we can't get through on the phone. Why don't you have an all-girls edition? So only the ladies. This is just for the ladies.
So both of you can call right now.
Not both. We're gonna, these lines are going to fill up. If you're on the phone right now and you're a dude, hang up, because this is just for the ladies.
Here's what's happening right
because
now.
Because it's ladies' night, and the feeling's right.
Here's what's happening right now. The guys are going, hey, hey, come here, call quick, come
no,
here,
they're
call
not.
Quick.
Fangirls
I'll give you the answer.
Loading up the phone lines.
Sure.
This is just for the girls. Give the girls a chance to win some tickets to Captain America First Avenger, the red carpet world premiere. And I'm going to ask an appropriate question for
all
the
right.
ladies.
Okay.
Here's your trivia question, ladies. I can't believe it 4 years have gone by, but you may remember in 2007, Captain America died. You may remember that. It was
sure.
a big, big news story.
No,
it was ladies remember their boyfriends crying over it.
It
yeah.
was during the Civil War arc, you know, about the Superhero Registration Act.
Why are you talking to us like we don't know that?
Okay. So Captain America was shot on the courthouse steps as he was being brought in to face charges for not registering his secret identity with the Superhero Registration Act. He was shot dead on the steps, or at least it appeared to be because he came back to life later.
Oh.
But anyway, shot dead on the steps of the courthouse. It was the shot heard around the world.
Where was his shield?
He was in handcuffs. He was being let in. He turned himself in because he wouldn't register his secret identity with the Superhero Registration Committee.
Okay.
Who shot him? Who shot him on the steps of that courthouse? That's all you need to know, ladies. Who shot Captain America back in 2007. I believe it was Captain America number 25, if I'm not mistaken.
You know, tell us.
1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. Ladies only. Ladies. Ladies.
Lady.
Look at the phones blowing up. All those lit up. Lit up, my friends.
Come here. Come here.
Stop it.
Come over here and get on the phone.
Oh, by the way, speaking of Captain America, I do want to mention that our friends at Golden Apple Comics on Melrose Avenue, the greatest comic book store in all of Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
They are having a Captain America Fest this Sunday.
Note to self, stay away from.
To celebrate the release of Captain America, the First Avenger. They got Pink's Hot Dogs is giving away free hot dogs. The screenwriters, Christopher Marcus and Stephen McFeely, who wrote Captain America, the First Avenger, they're going to be on hand signing free posters. They're giving away Captain America Frisbees that look like his shield. They're giving away free comic books. Our promo crew is going to be down there giving away stuff from our show.
Sounds better than I thought.
If you'd like to go, it's happening July the 17th, this Sunday from 12 to 2 p.m. at the Golden Apple Comic Book Store on Melrose. Melrose and La Brea is the intersection. Check it out. It's going to be a good time. Okay. I'm going to give you a heads up tonight, by the way, on sci-fi. Did you watch Alphas? Have you seen the first episode of Alphas?
No, but it looked good.
Boy, did I love that show.
Looked good.
It's kind of like Heroes meets X-Men, kind of. But it was really good. The first episode, I really dug it. They're rerunning that tonight, so you can check it out. If you haven't seen Alphas on sci-fi, you can watch that tonight. Check your local listings. Lady Gaga, she's in a bit of trouble. Apparently, she was in Sydney, Australia on Wednesday night. Here, by the way, she was also pelted with eggs.
No.
Yeah.
Coming
out of a nightclub.
Is that because of the meat dress? What's
the
idea?
Remember
there?
Justin Bieber had eggs thrown at him when he was in Australia? Yeah. It's like some Australian thing now. People are being pelted with eggs.
That's sweet.
They missed her too, by the way. Missed Bieber on stage, missed Gaga.
Come on now.
I think they're so drunk, their aim is off. That's what's going on down under. Anyway, she's in trouble because she was doing her concert on stage in Sydney, Australia, and she rolled out on stage in a wheelchair to sing her ballad, You and I. Well, that did not sit well with the Life Rolls On Foundation.
Sit well.
See?
See?
The Life Rolls On Foundation accused Lady Gaga of exploiting people with disabilities for shock value. They were also upset that she uses a wheelchair in her video for her single Paparazzi.
Yeah.
They're furious with Gaga, saying she perhaps should take some time to think about and maybe do a public service announcement for the 5.6 million Americans who use wheelchairs because they have to, not as an onstage gimmick.
Look, she's doing a theatrical presentation. There's nothing wrong with picking whatever props she wants to make the impact of those songs more powerful. Right?
Bette Midler did a whole concert in a wheelchair. Remember that?
Oh, then her too. Where's the Life Rolls On Foundation now? And then Christopher Reeve, too. Remember when he was like, oh, look at me. I'm fooling around. I'm in a wheelchair.
I think he was
aren't I funny? Because I used to be Superman. Now I'm just doing this for shock value.
Another
asshole. Christopher Reeve. And that's Stephen Hawking. What's with him? Look at me. I'm so smart. I don't even have to walk. I'm not going to walk like you regular people. I'm so smart. I'm just going
to
roll around in my chair.
I hate these
people who take advantage of the people with disabilities.
They're not all the same. Some of those have to stay in it.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Let's see if we have an answer to my trivia question, shall we? Oh, look who won. Look who won. Vina. Her name is Vina.
Hey, Vina, who gave you the answer?
She's the one.
Who gave you the answer?
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you? Did you know the answer to the trivia question?
Yes, I do.
See?
Because
she is a fangirl.
Because her boyfriend gave her the answer.
Vina, you're a comic book fan in your own right, are you not, Vina?
Yes, I am.
How about that?
She sounds fat.
She's not fat. She's beautiful. Vina, who shot Captain America on the courthouse steps back in 2007?
It was Sharon Carter and Crossbones.
That's right. Sharon Carter shot him in the gut, and Crossbones shot him, of course, as a sniper in the shoulder. But we were looking for Sharon Carter because that's his longtime girlfriend, too. How about that?
You've got a weight problem, and you know it.
Stop it, Kevin. Vina, congratulations. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, but you are going to the red carpet world premiere of Captain America, the First Avenger.
Woo! Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, lovely Vina, a woman who loves comic books. Stop it!
I love so much calling people fat when we have no idea what they look like. She could be a supermodel.
That was fun. Maybe I'll do ladies again in the next hour.
Don't push your luck.
Why not?
Don't push your luck.
Because Vina's already called in. She doesn't need to win again.
Look at all those phone lines lighting up. Women dying to win this contest.
Vina's not going
to
call back, so you're out.
I'm doing it again. Next hour, it's all girls edition.
Good luck with
all
that.
All girls edition. Captain America.
Hey, Tuffy! Want another Pop-Tart, Tuffy?
Why do you think she's fat?
We don't. We're just screwing around.
Don't be mean to Vina.
It would be Mina to Vina if we knew she was fat, but we don't.
We don't have any idea. Just by accident.
If by accident, then we're a-holes.
You're like spoiler boy up there on the island. Yeah. Same thing.
Hey, come on. That wasn't my fault.
Be careful what you say.
It's only funny to us if we have no idea what they look like.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Terry O'Quinn from Lost is 59 years old today. Forrest Whitaker turns 50. Brigitte Nielsen is 48. Is she clean and sober still? I remember her at the rehab. I think she's one of the few success stories that came out of that joint that quack Drew runs over there in Pasadena.
Isn't she the one, am I wrong, Ralph, who hit on Dr. Drew pretty hardcore during her season?
Wasn't she really into him? I think they all do.
Including the guys.
She hooked up with Flava Flav.
Oh, that's right.
She did.
I think they fell in love on Celebrity Rehab.
That's right. I think they did.
Or was that in the Surreal Life house?
And I think
they all start to blur together, don't they?
It was before the rehab.
I think she ate and swallowed and digested Mini-Me as well.
That's for sure. Jason Bonham, the drummer, is 45 years old today. Son of John Bonham, of course, from Led Zeppelin. Eddie Griffin celebrates his 43rd birthday. Scott Foley of Felicity is 39. Brian Austin Green, Bag, as we call him around the house. He's 38 years old, and Ray Toro of My Chemical Romance is 34. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Ralph's got the movie beat coming up for you next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Then we'll catch up with our friend Mark Hoppus from Blink 182 about their new song, just world premiered yesterday, and the new album coming soon. You know, no matter where you are in the country, you can't get away from a Carmageddon right now. I know it is a local Southern California problem, but I see it on my news all the time up here in Seattle, Kevin. It's all over CNN, the national news. Lisa, you heard them talking about it on NPR this morning.
Everybody knows the main thoroughfare through a city. If that gets closed down, your city is effed.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
And this is not closed down for 2 hours because of a truck. This is closed down for an entire weekend from Friday night to Monday morning. So people are freaking out. Here's a little bit of the news coverage that you've seen.
They're calling this Carmageddon Carpocalypse, and it was only a matter of time before we saw this. T-shirt sales going on right now here. Tom Hanks tweeted this weekend, L.A., avoid Carmageddon. Gasilla, 405-Einstein, Gridlockapalooza, stay home, eat and shop local, Hanks. But what will the demolition of the Mulholland Drive Bridge actually look like? In the meantime, city leaders want us to do our job.
Stay the hell away from the 405.
405 closure plan.
Stay home.
So you're still going to the beach?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Life must go on.
I just don't think it's that big of a deal.
Carmageddon.
How sad is... Wow. Wow. How sad is Tom Hanks that he put all that money in the Gridlockapalooza t-shirts and that's not what ended up getting catching on? It's Carmageddon.
Yeah, they were asking celebrities to tweet about it, and there have been signs up for, I don't know, a month.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
It is hilarious to see the celebrities, like William Shatner tweeted yesterday, don't forget the 405's closed. While you're at home, why not check out my new series on the Sci-Fi Channel?
Carmageddon.
And now that we're hours away, Lisa, from the road being closed, they're starting to ramp up the celebrity PSAs, the free announcements that they run on the radio and run on television from various celebrities, making sure that, you know, get people's attention so they know the roads are closed.
Mm-hmm.
And we got an example of some of the ones that are going to be running all weekend long. I think starting with Harrison Ford from the forthcoming Cowboys and Aliens movie.
Harrison Ford. And the weekend.
Get the message out.
A public service message from Los Angeles Department of Transportation.
I didn't understand any of that.
Maybe not as effective as you were hoping.
Was I supposed to understand any of that?
Yeah, that didn't help. All right, if that one didn't convince you to stay off the roads, how about Al Pacino?
Oh, this is Al Pacino, man. Ooh, this weekend. Come on now with the Carmageddon. Ooh, don't drive if you don't have to. And if you have to, don't. Come on now with the traffic. Ooh, 405. Ooh.
A public service message from Los Angeles Department of Transportation.
All right, that I like.
That's a little light on details, but
that's a good one.
Now, is it true that some of our musical acts are also getting in the picture here, Kevin?
Well, Mumford, for one, yeah.
Don't get in your car this weekend, because if you do, it's Carmageddon. Stay out of your car and don't drive anywhere because it's Carmageddon.
Beautiful.
Don't go on the 405, the 101, a 10, it's Carmageddon.
All right. And we got it. Thanks, Mumford.
I'm not around. Stay out of your car on this weekend. It's Carmageddon.
All right. Thank you for that.
A public service message from Los Angeles Department of Transportation.
All right. I don't know what Mumford has to do with the roads closing, but I do know that the next guy makes a lot of sense because he was, in fact, the governor of the great state of California. He still has a home in Brentwood, unless Maria has it. Arnold Schwarzenegger with a message.
This is Arnold Schwarzenegger, former governor of California. Listen, if you get in your car during Carmageddon, you will screw up everything for everybody in the state. And that's my job. That's hot. No, seriously. It's Carmageddon. Everyone run. Run. Pick up your guns and kill people.
What?
It's Carmageddon.
No.
Run for the hills.
No.
I'm just practicing for my new movie.
Oh.
Total Carmageddon.
A public service message from Los Angeles Department of Transportation.
And finally, talk about bringing a legend in to get people's attention. Let's face it, Lisa, you're watching TV. David Bowie comes on your screen. You're going to listen to what David Bowie has to say, right?
You bet.
Hello, this is David Bowie.
Don't get in your car this weekend. 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 Don't get in your car this weekend.
All right, we got that.
Don't get in your car this weekend.
Message
don't
received.
Get in your car this weekend.
We understand.
Don't get in your car this weekend. Don't get in your car this weekend. Don't get in your car this weekend.
All right, thank
don't
you.
Get in your car this weekend. Don't get in your car this weekend.
So the message is,
don't get in your car this weekend.
I'm unclear.
Don't get in your car this weekend. Don't get in your car this weekend. Don't get in your car this
all right.
weekend.
Got it.
Don't get in your car this weekend.
Thank you, David Bowie.
Don't get in your car this weekend.
We gotta go, actually.
It's going to be so much fun. Traffic.
Yeah, it's true.
Sit in your car for 12 hours. Don't get in your car. Mother stay out of your car.
A public service message from Los Angeles Department of Transportation.
Mark Hoppus from Blink-182 joins us coming up next here on the Kevin Amici Show. Funny man Eddie Izzard after the top of the air. Right now, Ralph's got the movie beat. It's Friday.
In a world, someone has been watching.
risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
This weekend is the return of two of the movie's biggest stars.
Okay.
Winnie the Pooh, back on the big screen for the first time in many, many years. You laugh, but Winnie is a monster star. People okay. love Winnie.
People do love Winnie.
When I was a kid, I had my stuffed Winnie that went everywhere with me. He was my dude.
Here's the question. Is that still the case?
No. Okay. Winnie went the way of the dodo. Did not last forever, that Winnie.
Would you consider being Eeyore? If you had to pick one.
Actually, if I had to look at all the creatures in the 100-acre wood, he absolutely would be Eeyore, yes. Right.
Oh, it'll never work. I lost my tail again.
Absolutely. It's the return of Winnie the Pooh on the big screen for the first time in many, many years. It's a brand new adventure. John Cleese is one of the voice actors in this animated movie from Disney. Jim Cummings, by the way, does the voice of Winnie the Pooh. And a remarkable voiceover actor. I'm a big fan of his, but he recreates Winnie's voice. Sterling Holloway, the actor, originally did it. But it's amazing how good he is at sounding like Winnie the Pooh. Who else is in this? Craig Ferguson, also in the movie. Very entertaining. If you got kids, I think you will enjoy it as much as they will, just if nothing else for the nostalgia factor. Here's a little scene from Winnie the Pooh where Piglet is trying to rescue Pooh and Rabbit from a hole.
I found something.
What?
Ooh. Well, that's a lovely flower, Piglet.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
But I think we need something longer.
Longer? Of course. How silly of me.
Oh, good thought, Piglet. But you can't possibly think that that's long enough.
Oh, yes, it is. Hal read this to me once, and it was certainly the longest thing I'd ever heard.
Why didn't we think to bring a rope?
Oh, well, there is this rope.
That's just filthy.
That sure is.
How long Piglet is. Wait, I take that all back.
Did you say
this isn't right for kids?
Did you say he was trying to rescue Pooh from a hole?
How dare you, sir.
You said that. That's how you set it
Winnie
up.
Winnie the Pooh.
You said he was rescuing Pooh from the hole.
I'm very uncomfortable with this movie.
Chubby little cubby all stuffed with fluff. It's Winnie the Pooh.
All right.
Also opening up this weekend, the return of another movie superstar, Harry Potter. In his final, final movie appearance.
Maybe.
Bean. Nice. Good work.
Good work.
What do I know?
Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. It's the return of Daniel Radcliffe as Harry Potter as he takes on the evil Lord Voldemort in a final battle between these two superpowers. Here's a scene where John Hurt's character, Ollivander, tells Harry about the Deathly Hallows.
What do you know about the Deathly Hallows?
It is rumored there are three. The Elder Wand, the Cloak of Invisibility, to hide you from your enemies, and the Resurrection Stone, to bring back loved ones from the dead. Together, they make one the Master of Death.
Ah! Ah!
Can't wait.
I would say go see Harry Potter this weekend, but I get the sense that's already taken care of.
Yeah, you don't need to.
So take your kids and go see Winnie the Pooh. Take your kids to a movie. I wish Olivia was old enough to go to the movies because
I
would
take her. I don't think she's old enough to see
I would take her
Piglet
to see this.
Try and rescue Pooh from a hole.
It's misconstrued. You're misconstruing
maybe
it.
Maybe she's a little young for that.
Oh, my goodness.
Kevin's not the one talking about if it's long enough.
That's
come on,
right.
Ralph.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie Beat.
New music right there from the band called Blink-182, Up All Night. World premiered yesterday. Now it'll be inescapable. You'll never, ever stop hearing that song. That's my prediction. Mark Hoppus, back on the phone in the Kevin Bean Show. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. You cut off the end of the song.
What?
Yeah, there was a whole outro after that guitar fade.
Hey, we'll have to fix that.
Kevin.
I didn't do
Kevin.
It.
Kevin.
That's the way it was.
Way to go, Kevin.
I didn't do it.
All right, I did it.
Mark, did you get a chance to hear the record on the radio yesterday, and does that still hold any kind of thrill for you as a big-time multi-platinum rock star?
I did. I listened to it online. I'm in New York right now, so I streamed it online and heard it and got really excited. And I was all by myself in a hotel room, and I celebrated by
we got it.
Having a dessert.
Yeah, we know how you celebrated. Were you able to figure out a way to let this song actually premiere yesterday and not get leaked early like happens so often?
Well, it kind of leaked-ish a little bit. It, Amazon France, I guess, put up the song for sale, but not actually for sale. You couldn't buy it. It had the artwork, and it had like 30 seconds of the song up.
Yeah. You could hear the clip.
Like French.
You could hear the clip, but you couldn't hear the whole song.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so it's pretty phenomenal that we were able to make it so far without the whole song leaking, and then actually have people be able to hear it for the first time in its entirety on K-Rock. That
is
was
it,
awesome.
Yeah. Is it nerve-wracking to put out any song after all this time? I mean, you think so far you had a legacy that was fantastic, and then you broke up, you ended other things. Now you're coming back, and you go, wow, is the pressure of the legacy, does that make it difficult? I could have asked that better, but I think you know what I mean.
No, I know exactly what you mean, and there definitely is a feeling in the back of all of our heads when we're recording, especially on this record, like we really need to do something good. And, you know, people have been waiting 8 years at this point for new music, so expectations were really high, and the reaction has been overwhelmingly phenomenal, blows me away, humble, like just more than we could ask for. And, of course, there's, you know, here and there, there's some people that don't like certain things, but,
right,
you know, the funniest thing is that these are the criticisms that I've heard so far.
All right.
There's too much Mark. There's too much Tom. It sounds too much like Plus 44. It sounds too much like Angels and Airwaves.
Yeah.
It sounds too much like old Blink, and it sounds too much like new Blink. So,
so what are you supposed to do with that?
So apparently Travis is the only one people like.
Yeah, totally. Across the board, everyone's like, yeah, Travis killed it, but, there's too much Mark and too much Tom.
What is it that those people thought they were going to hear from Blink 182, except for the members in Blink 182?
Well, I don't know, but it's totally cool. The best thing of all is that so many people listen to it and have some kind of reaction. And like I said, it's all been really positive. And, you know, after so long, after 8 years and having all these people listen to it, of course, there's going to be some people with different opinions. I just think it's funny because it's all over the place.
Yeah.
It's a great song, Mark. You guys should be very, very proud of it. And Kevin and I were talking about it first thing this morning. You know, we got together this morning. We got to compare notes. What'd you think of the Blink song? And we both said the same thing, which is it's an unbelievably peppy, happy song until you start to listen to the words, and then it really bums you out, which is, I think, what a lot of the best Blink songs do, you know?
You know, there's actually a lot of songs like that.
That's true.
On this album that are catchy, poppy, and then you listen to the lyrics and you're like, these guys are really dark.
Yeah, no kidding. Let me ask you a couple questions about the new record. So you hit the deadline, you got the single out there. You're supposed to be done, completely buttoned up and turned in by July 31st. Are you going to make that date?
We are going to make that date. We have 2 weeks. This is my next 2 weeks. Can I tell you my next two weeks?
Please. Yeah.
Finish recording the album, mix the rest of the album, master the album, figure out, finalize the artwork, write the set list for the tour, rehearse the songs for the tour, including the new songs that we've never played live, and do full production rehearsals, and then leave for tour on the 31st as well. We hand in the record and hit the road.
That's like 2 days. What are you going to do with the rest of the time?
Yeah, it's easy. I'm going to finish that this afternoon.
Mark, did your country song make the final cut on the album, or will it, or is this going to get pushed off to yet another record?
I killed that song.
It's really? You pulled it? Because I thought that was when you were really excited about getting out there.
He didn't pull it. He killed
it. You know what? I was, and I think that it is a good idea for a song, and Tom and Travis both disagree with me. They're like, that song's really cool. We should go with it. But I don't know. It turned out less than I had hoped it would turn out. I think there's solid ideas in there, and I will go back and readdress it.
Okay, and the song will probably be better for it the more you sit on it, the more you rework it. Blink 182 is going out on a huge tour, as you know, October 1st in Anaheim, Sacramento on the 2nd, October 4th in Concord, then Mountain View, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, San Diego. We're going to give you your choice of tickets right now. If you love Blink like we do and want to call at 1-800-520-1067, you can either go to the Honda Center show on October 1st or the Hollywood Bowl show on October 8th. How much of the new record are you going to be doing on this tour when you guys finally do go out, Mark?
Probably 3 or 4 songs. You know, we want to play a bit of the new record, but because the record won't be out as we start the tour, people won't know the songs. And so, you know, as a fan, when I go to watch a band, if they're like, all right, we're going to play a bunch of new stuff now, I say, oh, my God, please, no. Please don't make me listen to new stuff. You know, because I think that people go to concerts and they want to hear songs they know and maybe, like, one or two songs that they might not know. But
right.
By and large, we're going to play, you know, all the stuff from our catalog, our history, and probably three or four new songs as well.
And you're still shooting for the album coming out on September 27th. The last time we talked to you, when you and Tom came in studio about 6 weeks ago or so, you had no album title. Any progress on that front?
We have an album title. May I tell you the album title?
Yes, please.
Oh, hold on a sec. Ladies and gentlemen, the name of the new Blink-182 album from Mark Hoppus himself is...
Neighborhoods.
Really, though?
What's the real name? Mark, that's funny. What's the real name?
Wieners, balls, and chicks. I don't know.
There we go.
Neighborhoods.
Neighborhoods.
That's a great title.
Does it mean anything?
Well, to us, it means kind of what we've kind of discovered through the reformation of Blink-182 is that the three of us are very different. But put together, we do something that we really like. And, you know, Travis is a very street, urban, kind of a dirty aesthetic. I'm more like a indie rock, whatever guy, and Tom's outer space, aliens, whatever. It's kind of like... kind of like different neighborhoods that make up a city. And so
I gotcha.
There's a lot of different sounds and a lot of different parts of Blink-182 in this record. And we came from suburban USA, Southern California. And so it just felt like kind of what the record was, a all bunch right. of different ideas kind of put together into a city.
I apologize for my negativity about the title.
Yes, I'm gonna also withdraw my scorn. I think that's actually a fine title. All right. Neighborhoods. Blink 182, September 27th is when it is tentatively scheduled. Mark, we're out of time, buddy. Any final words to Blink 182 fans that may be listening around the world before we say goodbye?
First of all, and most importantly, thank you, everybody, for tuning in last night and listening to the song. It was crazy. You crashed. The people that logged in crashed out Google Plus twice. They crashed out the Blink 182 website. Everything was down. Blink was top trending topic on Twitter. It was really cool. After 8 years to come back and have this kind of support and interest in our band is really awesome. So thank you.
And it's really cool for us to have a great new song to play as well.
It is. We couldn't be happier for you guys. You know we've been loving you forever, Mark. So thanks and continued success. And I'm sure we'll talk again soon. All right.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Thank you, man. Bye.
Comedian Eddie Izzard joins us in studio coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Now Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
I'll tell you, Eddie is one of those comedians you watch and say, that's how it should be done.
How come I can't and most people can't do that?
Well, it goes beyond that. Yes, it is a freak of nature. But you see him and then you compare him to some other comedians who also play large venues and you go, they should just get a new job. They should look into another line of work. Because that is what it's all about. I caught him at the Noki, I guess he played last time he was in town. Boy, was that a funny show. Good times. All right, let's talk about show business news, shall we? Katy Perry has a deep, dark secret she has to reveal.
Yeah.
Despite all of her sets and dresses and scenes that are candy and sugar themed, she doesn't like candy, she admits.
That's an outrage.
That lying bitch.
I thought she was an American, Ralph, no?
No, apparently not, Bean. She apparently says she has a salt tooth. French fries and potato chips on stage wouldn't look as cute, though, she adds. So she has to go with cotton candy and lollipops and popsicles and ice cream cones and whipped cream shooting out of her boobs.
But it's fake.
Yeah, it's not real. She doesn't mean it. Oh, the more I learn about this.
Wow, that is just disappointing.
You know she flies her cats to visit with her when she's on tour?
Really?
She has her cats flown in. Spend a little time.
Separately?
And
not
sends
with
her? Back home. Yes.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
Sweet.
She's running amok and must be stopped.
She has like three cats and they take each their own plane?
They fly their own plane. That's the worst part of it. She has taught them to fly and she gives them little single engine planes. And very disturbing to the other pilots.
Is anyone else a little surprised that she's still married to Russell Brand?
No, they never see each other. How could they get sick of each other?
True. Oh, maybe that's
she's
the answer.
She's on tour
yeah.
constantly. He's filming movies. That's why they don't get a chance to get sick.
Right.
Will Smith has announced he's interested in revisiting The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
As long as his son plays the lead? Is that what?
No, he wants to go back and play the Fresh Prince. He said he would be interested in doing a reunion show or something where you got to explore the character again. He's fascinated by the idea of what happened to the Fresh Prince after the series ended.
I don't exactly remember how the series ended.
It didn't really end.
Was there a cliffhanger
or
something?
And listen, maybe you want to go back and rewatch some episodes of that show, Will, and then you'll lose your fascination for that. Because it was fine for what it was.
Yeah, when it was.
It was like, oh, mom and dad are coming home. The place is a mess. We just had a party. I mean, what do we do? It's like the Black Brady Bunch, that show. And this is a good time. Do yourselves a favor and check into Mental Floss. They have a monthly magazine of trivia, but they also have a website that they update every day. And today, in honor of the final Harry Potter movie, they have got a great game called Harry Potter Character or Hideous Skin Condition. They have a list of names, and you need to guess, is this a Harry Potter character, or is it a hideous skin condition?
I like it.
For example, Venus Lakes. Venus Lakes, Harry Potter character, or hideous skin condition?
I'd say skin condition.
You're right, Kevin.
I think so, too, yeah.
Blue and green patches around the lips, ears, and face.
Ooh.
All right, how about Cutis Laxa?
Neither.
I think that's a Harry Potter character.
Skin disease.
Skin disease.
Whoa!
Yeah. Causes patches of skin to hang in loose folds.
Ew.
Yeah. Andromeda Tonks.
That is a Harry Potter character.
Skin condition.
Harry Potter character. Yeah. Well, Lisa's read the book. She can't play this game.
I'm 0 for 3.
I got one wrong.
Ekrin Nevis.
I believe that's Harry Potter.
Skin disease.
Shoot.
Causes increase in size of number of one type of secretion glands in your skin. You start getting large bulges all over your body.
These are all gross.
Is this a great game?
It is.
Harry Potter game or hideous skin disease. You can go to Mental Floss, their website, and check it out.
I went there once, and I realized literally I'm not smart enough for that website, and I stopped going.
This depressed you?
I really did.
And before we get to his birthdays, I don't know if you saw Letterman last night or not, but he had on Chris Evans. I know we've been talking a lot about Captain America and the First Avenger this week. Chris Evans stopped by the Letterman set just to read the top 10 last night.
Oh, sweet. I love this.
Which was the top 10 things you'll never hear a superhero say. Top 10 things a superhero would never say. We don't have time for the whole 10, but I think I brought in the top 5 for you. These are the top 10 things a superhero would never say from Chris Evans.
Top 10 things never before said by a superhero. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Number 5.
I'm Steve Rogers. Perhaps you know my brother, Kenny.
Whoa. Number 4.
In a few years, Captain America will be known as Captain China. Am I right, bud?
Number 3.
My weakness, Sara Lee cheesecake bites.
Oh, they're delicious. Number 2. Things never before said by a superhero.
One ticket for Zookeeper, please.
Yeah, that's right. And the number 1 thing never before said by a superhero.
I really, really like the tights.
No one likes the tights.
No.
I don't forget. That's I think number 7 was Aquaman and I are moving to New York to get married. Today's celebrity birthday is Terry O'Quinn from Lost and West Wing, alias many, many movies and TV shows, 59 years old today. Forrest Whitaker turns 50. Brigitte Nielsen is 48. Jason Bonham, son of John Bonham of Led Zeppelin fame, is also a drummer. He's 45 years old. Scott Foley of Felicity is 39. Chai Cheng of Deftones, who is unfortunately in a coma. He's
He's the one who had the car accident, right?
Yeah, he's everybody's still hoping the best for him, but it is his birthday, so we wish him the best on his birthday. Brian Austin Green is 38, and Ray Toro of My Chemical Romance celebrates his 34th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks a lot for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Got your chance to win your way into L.A. Rising coming up before the end of the program. Right now, how about our friend Eddie Izzard joining us back in studio?
Well,
he has got a huge show coming up at the Hollywood Bowl on July 20th. Hi, Eddie. How are you, man?
I am very good. I am just Twittering.
You're just Twittering right now?
I just Twittering.
Oh, right now.
Exactly what I'm doing, which is me being active Twitter, because I was just saying I'm sometimes a big passive Twitter or a slow Twitter, or sometimes I'm amazing. And somewhere amazing, I take a photograph and I think, okay, now I need a better photograph than this to put out. And then I'm taking 20 photographs saying that this is a perfect one. I was just in Montreal trying to get the Canadian flag fluttering perfectly. So and then I think, oh, video it, because you actually video on
sure.
your iPhone.
Yeah.
And then you can actually take snapshots of the video to get the perfect to get the flag right.
And then by the time you were done, you fell asleep and forgot to Twitter?
Well, no, I just took it home. Then I worked on it for 2 days. And then I said, this is what I was doing 2 days ago, which is a bit silly.
Yeah. You are putting way too much pressure on yourself to
I was doing it the right way, which is just splurging.
I wish more people put more time into it.
Well, it goes between. Sometimes I'm right on it, and as I was saying, I ran these marathons a couple of years ago, and I was twittering to prove where I was. Yeah. I ran 43 marathons.
Only 43?
Only 43, but in 51 days. So I took 6 days off. So.
Oh, my God.
What a show. Are you making this up?
No.
Are you having a laugh? What's going on here?
Google it now, and you'll see it.
Really?
What a show off. I can't even one.
It is.
Eddie has almost 2 million Twitter followers, Kevin.
Yes.
Wow.
Almost 2 million, which is ridiculous. You're not that good, right?
Well, no, they're spread out all over the world. And the one thing I really do love on Twitter is, and it's a very silly thing, is just say, what's the weather like where you are? One, because I'm a bit of a weather nerd, and I've got all these applications saying what the weather is going to be like and the sun.
You're a weather nerd because you're curious about where you're going?
No, I just
in general.
I don't believe in a god, but the weather does weird things. So I think this is happening on some sort of there's some sort of pattern to it. And those guys go out and they talk.
Do you watch the Weather Channel?
Not really. Okay. I watch my weather apps though ridiculously closely.
You do?
I do. I've got four.
You have four different weather apps.
Yeah, and they look into the future and. And because I am gonna play Shoreline here on Saturday,
right.
And that's outdoors. And I'm playing Hollywood Bowl next Wednesday, the 20th, and that's outdoors.
But that's what I said. Are you looking forward to where you're playing? You said not just.
Well, not just because I'm also just I just like weather. Because I was just in Paris for about 3 months, and I was checking the weather every day to make sure it was good Paris weather, like in a film, as opposed to not good.
I don't know anyone else. Maybe Bean. I forget Bean. I think I don't know anyone.
I do. I love weather
who
also.
Loves weather, but
I love the Weather Channel. I can't believe you don't watch that, Eddie. It's awesome. It's so much weather.
No, it's very. You must admit, though, it's very American-centric weather, and I love world-centric weather.
Well, twice an hour, they do update you around the world.
By the way, that doesn't make it any different.
Well, you love not in enough detail for you.
I just do because we don't get good stuff in Britain. We don't get good stuff, but it's not actually Britain. It's all of Northern Europe. Just gets this sort of.
The one app won't handle it. You have four.
I have four because if you cross check them,
right?
You know, and if two of them are saying something and one of them is not
saying something else,
then you got to go with the two or the three that agree.
You have to take the rolling average.
Yeah, and some of them go forward 15 days. Some of them go forward about 10 days.
Okay. Do you feel in some way like perhaps that's way too much interest in weather?
Yes, I had my dad have people come around to the house, and he started going into, in a very British way, into weather. And he'd say, God, it was sunnier yesterday, but it was brighter. But the clouds came back, and I was thinking, that's talking way too much about weather. But I don't talk about it with anyone. I just work it out in my head and plan stuff. And then I ask on Twitter, what's the weather like where you are? And that's what's interesting, because then people say, I'm in Karachi, and it's this, and I'm in Seattle, and it's this. And at the same time, people are up way in the middle of the night, and they'll give instant weather reports back.
That would bore me to tears.
Well, no, it's fun, because it's instant, and you know that people around the world are talking to you instantaneously. And there are about...
Yeah. Couldn't they talk to you about anything but weather?
Well, they could, but you could ask other questions.
Yes.
But this is me being sad
this
on weather.
What you love. That's all right.
It's Eddie, I want to go back to something you said. This is a comedian, Eddie Izzard, in on the show, by the way. Stripped to the Bowl is going to be the Hollywood Bowl show coming up on Wednesday, which, by the way, if I understand correctly, you are the first stand-up comic to do a solo show at the Hollywood Bowl.
I believe I am. I claimed this, and the L.A. Philharmonic people who own the bowl, run the bowl, they checked it out, and they said yes.
That's pretty impressive.
I like that you claimed it before they checked.
I know. No, but if you go on Google, you can't actually get the figures on it because they can say this band played and that band and this one. Monty Python played it on their own for 3 nights,
but
they were
solo.
A group. Yeah. Yeah, so getting down to solo, and Richard Pryor played it, and George Lopez had played it, but with other people. So I claimed it, and I said, but disprove me if I'm wrong. So that's how I did my grabbing for records.
Did that scare you at all? The fact that it's, you know, that big of a venue, and
no,
I know you sold out big venues before.
Well, having played Madison Square Garden,
sure,
you know,
selling it out.
Yeah, it's only about 3,000 bigger than that. And there's a German kid called Mario Barth who's played 70,000 in the Olympic Stadium in Berlin. There's a French guy called Jean-Marie Bigard who played 52,000 in the Stade de France. So they're on stadiums.
Wow.
So if we're trying to keep up our global competition in a positive way,
yeah,
then I'm way down the list.
So you're way behind. You got to catch up.
I have.
have to ask you about this this French thing, Eddie, because I confess it had escaped me that you are fluent in French, and you have just done a tour in French of your comedy material in French, dozens and dozens of dates speaking fluent French, right?
Yeah, I actually stayed in one play. I stayed in Paris just to get Paris, just like a play or a musical. If it came into on Broadway, it would just sit down and play that until everyone said, yes, we've got to see this.
Right.
So that's the technique I did. I went into 140-seater in Paris, and I played it for 13 weeks.
And all in French.
Tout en français, et maintenant je peux parler français assez bien pour faire un spectacle en français ou en anglais. And ich kann ein bisschen Deutsch sprechen. Und ich
What's
werde
happening?
Mein Show auf Deutsch machen.
I think he's cursing at us.
That's
I don't know.
That's the German version of the show, which I want to do next
year. Oh, you're My such a show-off.
Come on, 43, come
it's
on.
Positive. It's a positive
it's
show-off.
It's positive showing up.
But you must admit, you see, I'm relentless self-publicist because no one pays attention otherwise. That's why I keep repeating things
okay.
over and over again.
All right.
Whereas if you go on something, if you're on some sort of show on TV, then immediately everyone knows. But no one knows I'm doing this, so I have to keep repeating it.
All right.
Did you see the video of Bradley Cooper on French television promoting The Hangover? And the internet just blew up with people who fell in love with Bradley Cooper all over again because he was fluent in French. And I wondered, I mean, do you get some of that too? Is there something about being a French speaker that just drives the women crazy?
It's an anything speaker. It's any language. And what they don't
Except
tell you at school.
Except for German.
No, including German.
Really?
Including German, yeah. If you speak a second language with an accent, which you probably will have because it's very difficult to lose your accent, then that is sexy. That's what they don't tell you at school, and that is the thing to know. The first thing you should learn is curse words, swear words,
of course.
And then realize that it's sexy.
Married or whatever. I
yes,
know that.
Exactly.
I know that.
And you can do them. You can say them on American radio, and it's all cool.
So you say it with a British. You're saying if you speak French with your British accent,
yes.
it's wildly
sexy.
Yeah,
and
sexy.
Any language,
right.
Any which way around, it's the confidence actually what people are going for. And Bradley Cooper. Jean Reno's wife, Sophia, was talking to me and saying, he speaks French. And Jodie Foster speaks fluent French as well. And it's just very cool because suddenly you're talking to another 60 million people effortlessly, and it's great.
Do you habla de español at all?
No, but I will because my brother speaks it, so I'm going to do. I have to do that one.
Yeah, you'll run the world if you can speak Spanish too. Get a little Spanish, a little Mandarin under your belt, you'll be fine.
How many languages?
I've got two and a half.
Two and a half, okay.
But I have to do Arabic and Russian as well because I was born in Arabic country.
Oh, and you'll do that in the next couple of days?
Tuesday week.
Okay,
I plan.
All right,
no,
we got to take a break.
Rest of my life.
Eddie Izzard is here. Do you promise if people buy tickets to your show at the Hollywood Bowl for Wednesday, it will be an English-only show, though?
It will be English-only show. I might occasionally say a thing like Le Chat, which is the cat, but that's only case. No, okay. It'll be all in English, just right. English, late into the balmy evening.
Yes.
In the Hollywood
Bowl.
Eddie
you
is
check.
Here.
You know that.
Yeah. You can go to eddieizzard.com and, of course, follow him on Twitter by his name as well. We'll return with more with our guests after this on the Kevin. We don't need to come to work and feel dumb, Kevin. That's not the point of showing up at the job, is it? What's going on today?
Sometimes it happens.
That's my life every day.
We had Corey Taylor on earlier today from the band Slipknot. He was promoting his new book that's out. He's getting deep with us about philosophy, and we survived that. Now, Eddie Izzard's in the studio, just running circles around us, making us feel like mental midgets, because he's too smart for the room.
All I'm doing is talking about weather. That's not that. That's easy.
Well, even that. even something
French.
That dorky, you win.
Oh, actually, I do. Actually, I can go into weather in depth, because it's got barometric pressures and all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, we don't need to get that.
Because I learned to fly, and you had to learn that stuff, and that's the one bit that
You're
really...
a pilot?
Are you a pilot, too?
Yeah.
Stop it!
Wait, marathons, okay. Languages, fly in a plane, play in the Hollywood Bowl.
Come on, Eddie.
This
is standard stuff that...
Are you a brain surgeon?
Only every other Tuesday.
Okay.
And I dabble. I dabble
Just
in brain
dabble
surgery.
In brain
you know, and it's only if people say, well, please take my brain surgery. Okay. But, yes, I was saying before that the festivals, the outdoor festivals,
yes.
We in Europe feel that Monterey was the first one, Woodstock, and they're all across Europe. And now they're coming back in a big way in America.
Yeah, we have Coachella and a whole bunch of different ones.
And we're doing Bummer one shooting. In the UK, Laughs in the Park, which is just outside London. And it's just comics. Cause,
all comedians.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So it's all day, just the sort of same thing, but it's a comedy is a mind gig as opposed to a field gig. But that's part of playing Shoreline.
You're playing Shoreline Amphitheater.
San Jose.
On Saturday.
That's part of getting comedy outdoors and going into Hollywood Bowl next Wednesday. I wanted to get it outdoors.
Yeah, it's sort of, that's the venue where it hasn't been much.
No.
For comedians. I mean, it really has been an indoor thing forever.
And there's no reason why it can't be outdoors.
No, but I mean, you always think of it as more of an intimate experience.
But it still could be intimate, but just with the beautiful, you know, the California weather, which is just great, you know, for it. So, and I've done it in the rain as well. It works even in the rain.
But
there won't be any rain, because I've checked on my weather app. That shoreline.
Extensively.
And it's going to be...
Tell us what the temperature is going to be at shoreline.
Shoreline, I'd have to check it up right now. But so I did check. It was about 20 degrees centigrade, which in Fahrenheit is about, what's that, 70, 75 during the...
I come up with 76 with my...
Yes, I think it's somewhere around there.
Okay.
For the shoreline.
And for here, for
and
Hollywood
it'll
Bowl.
Be 89 during the day. So okay. As the show comes on, it'll totally cool dip down to about 75.
All right.
Which will be perfect.
Absolutely.
He really does love weather.
I do.
He sure
I do.
Does.
It is.
So, but you're doing this thing in England. Is it? Do you hope it takes off like that? Do you
absolutely.
Hope that their comedians are going to start doing these outdoor festivals
yes.
by themselves?
I'm going to push very hard for that. And, you know, sometimes it takes, you miss a year and things.
Of
and
course.
People, and so I'm just going to keep pushing that. I am a relentless idiot. So.
Are you the one that started this?
Yeah, it is kind of my baby. And because in a lot of the festivals in the UK, you have music and then you have a comedy tent, like the Poor Relation, that'll be off to one side. And if the band's turned it up to 11 on the main stage,
right.
You're competing. And people can get a little bit out of it. And we need them somewhat out of it, but not full
not
on
completely
out of it.
Yeah.
Because it is
right.
a mind gig and not as opposed to a feel gig. You can be quite wasted and still be in a music gig.
Here they haven't really mixed them much at all. You never have comedians at these.
No, interesting. I got that
festivals.
Impression.
Yeah.
But now we're doing our own ones.
You're going to change the world, man.
Why not?
We have heard funny stories, Eddie. I don't know if you're familiar with Bobcat Goldthwait, very popular comedian, actor, now movie director and writer. But he, you know, he did stand up for decades, and he went out with Nirvana. He opened for Nirvana on their tour. And he said it was some of the most difficult performances he's ever done in his life.
Yes.
You talk about mixing music and comedy because they're there to rock and you're out there telling stories.
That's exactly right.
You're the time waster.
It is not the thing to do. Don't go together because I did one or two music gigs like that and the audience is there to be cool. And laughing is not part of the cool lexicon. It actually destroys cool. So music should, I mean, in the comedy festivals in the UK, they can separate them out because then they go into the tent and then, and then they just watch it separately in the tent. But we're just trying to separate the whole thing out. And you could have an acoustic music tent as well.
Sure.
But that would be just a different feel. So, yeah, they don't go together. Opening for bands, I would not do.
Yeah.
Even if forced to.
I think that's a wise
big
move.
Stick
all right.
Poked me.
Are you sold out for these upcoming gigs this week?
I think there might be a few tickets left towards you know the edges and some down in the middle. But it's actually a great view because we have a huge screen.
Uh-huh.
And I think the better views are from the back. This is the weird thing because you see everything. You see the audience. You see everyone. And the sound is great. We spend a lot of time on the sound and the vision. The screens are huge and brilliant.
Well, if you haven't seen Eddie Izzard, one of the best stand-ups in the world, Shoreline Saturday, and then at Wednesday, the Hollywood Bowl, you must go see him. He's going to start a revolution.
Yes.
He's going to fly himself to each location and speak
and you
French
can shout,
on the
and
way.
You can shout out a language from the audience, and he'll do a joke for you in whatever language you choose.
Any language.
That would just be for two people, and then everyone else would just stare at me. I have found if you do break into another language, people just stare at you, and then you can just say, that's very funny in French.
Does that help?
That's the only joke you can get out of it, because whatever you say, they don't know whether you said, I can tie my shoelaces up, I've been to the moon. They have no clue. So, and I can see them being glazed.
I wouldn't be surprised if Eddie had been to the moon, by the way, with what we've learned about this dude today. All right, go to eddieizzard.com and follow the man on Twitter, won't you, at Eddie Izzard. Eddie, you're the best. So great to catch up with you, man. Have fun at these shows. We'll see you again soon.
Great to be here.
Thanks, anytime. We appreciate having you.
I don't think we've whipped anyone into a needless frenzy in the last half hour about Carmageddon. That was your cue to hit the...
Do it again. I wasn't ready.
Thought it would have been more effective had the
seizure
come...
Do it again!
I think it's been about a half an hour since we whipped anybody into it. Here's what's going on. The worst traffic in the world, apparently, at least certainly in the United States, is in Southern California. And the road that carries more of those cars than any other road, the 405 Interstate, is going to be closed down the entire weekend. Now, a lot of people are hearing this for the first time right now going, what? But everybody in government is trying to get the word out, including the mayor of Los Angeles, who has to
Carmageddon.
On what you should know about this weekend. So let's hear what the mayor had to say.
All right, this is Mayor.
And there will be special deals for local mass transit.
Service will be free. During this period, on 26 bus lines, on the orange line, the red line, and the purple line. But Metrolink will also be increasing service on the Antelope Valley and Ventura lines and have a $10 unlimited weekend pass.
Okay.
And, of course, we told you yesterday about the airline JetBlue that's flying you from Long Beach to Burbank for $4 for people who just have to get to the Valley that weekend. At least you got a way to do it. And that's already sold out. So we wanted to find out more about what the mayor's plans and advice are for this big, big weekend. And Mayor Villaraigosa joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Mayor.
Mr. Mayor?
Put that down. Put that down.
Mr. Mayor?
Mayor.
What did you get a pay for?
Hello?
Hello?
What?
Hello?
What's happening? Where are you? It sounds like mayhem.
God. Oh, it is mayhem. Oh, my God. I'm on the 405 101 junction.
But it hasn't started yet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what you think. Hey, give it.
Hey, don't shoot.
No, shooting is not going to solve anything.
Bitch, get off the horse. No.
Get off the horse?
He's yelling at people with a bullhorn down there. Mr. Mayor, the traffic is normal today. They don't even start closing the roads down until 7 o'clock tonight.
It's Carmageddon!
But not yet!
Carmageddon!
Do you think that you're going to help by shooting weapons?
I'm trying my best to keep the city under control.
City. You said city, right?
He said city.
I'm trying my best
to
keep the city under control because Carmageddon wasn't even supposed to start till later tonight.
Right.
But people
it doesn't start till tonight.
People are in a frenzy. They're in a panic.
But aren't
and
there...
everything's going haywire.
But aren't there traffic cops that could be doing that?
Oh, they're all dead.
The what?
God, what's going on here? Jack, get all right. Order humanity.
Oh, this is sad. I didn't realize it already started.
Oh, that's right.
He's making it sound like we're living on the Planet of the Apes all of a sudden. It's just a freeway closing, right?
No, it's not. It's so much more.
How much more is it?
It's so telling. What has gone on with humanity?
Yeah.
When you take away their freedoms. In order to help you, I'm doing everything I can.
Well, maybe don't shoot people would be a start.
Those are just warning shots, my friend.
Oh.
Listen to me. The openings are the L.A. County Sheriff's paddy wagon is now available for use.
What?
It's free. You have 20 people can ride for free between El Monte and Watts anytime they want. Okay?
Okay.
I think my cousin Miklo, he has a Razor scooter. That's yours.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, you're offering that up to people. Okay.
I'm saying don't shoot the gun.
All right. Listen to me. Don't use your car if you can.
Okay.
Right.
Try to blow up 1,000 Mylar balloons. They're free now, okay?
Okay.
From 1-800-Flowers.
Okay.
In Los Angeles
County. I don't think that's true.
Just blow up about 1,000 Mylar balloons that fly around town. I saw that guy do it on Up.
You can do that. Okay.
No, that was a cartoon movie.
Yeah. Better than driving, just to fly around with balloons.
But that was just a cartoon.
There's 3 stand-up paddle boards waiting for you in Malibu.
Okay.
You can go wherever you want, all over the ocean. Ha,
I
recommend soaking yourself in honey.
Why?
Because millions of bees will be attracted to you and you can fly away.
Oh, the bees will carry you to your destination instead of driving.
Like a kick-ass genie.
Okay. Good advice, I guess.
Have you tried that?
No.
No, okay.
But I did ride a donkey once from Acapulco to Los Angeles.
That's how you got into this country, isn't it?
You got it.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Is it nerve-wracking to put out any song after all this time? I mean, you think so far you had a legacy that was fantastic, and then you broke up, you went and did other things. Now you're coming back and you go, wow, is the pressure of a legacy, does that make it difficult?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Wow. You guys in your editing. Wow.
This has been a banner week.
How could anyone answer that? What could you possibly say to attempt to try to answer that question?
Well, he was
Mark was
super
very
nice.
Gracious,
he
was and he did answer.
I said, I could have asked that better, but you know what I mean, right? And he said, yeah, of course. And then he went on. He's very
well,
gracious.
He's a better man than I am.
Really
I
nice.
No idea what you mean.
I know. That was not.
That does rival my moment with Dr. Drew yesterday, by the way. This has been just a terrible week on the Kevin Abuse. A
lot of editing. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. And then after the top of the hour, by the way, your chance to win L.A. Rising tickets. Stick around for that on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
Yeah, whatever with L.A. Rising tickets. How about Captain America?
Yay!
The first Avenger!
You've been doing your own echo?
Well, you got to.
It's sort of low rent.
It's a low rent facility here at the Kevin and Bean Show. I've got passes to give away to the Red Carpet World Premiere. It's cool enough to see a movie
before anybody else. But when you get to see it with the stars of that film, like Chris Evans, who's Captain America, or Hugo Weaving, who plays Red Skull in the movie, or Tommy Lee Jones, or Haley Atwell, it's just good. It's just good for you. And I know the ladies have been complaining that they can't get through in the phone lines get
the
their
problem.
Tickets. So today we're doing something special. We did it last time we gave away some tickets. Once again, this is a ladies only. Ladies only.
Here's what's happening, Bean, is that Ralph gets one girl and fills the line, all eight lines with her. And then whatever line we go to.
That is not the case. I have no control. There's nothing going on behind the smoke and mirrors of this show that I am in control of.
But you want ladies.
But didn't the one lady who wants to go to this already win last time we did the contest?
I've received many emails of complaint from girls who say, Kevin and Bean always say there's no fangirls out there. Well, I'm one and I can't get through on your stupid phone lines. Can you please give the girls a chance to win? And so I do whatever the ladies ask. You know that. I'm a pleaser when it comes to the ladies. So, ladies, this one's for you. Here's your trivia question. Bucky, who, of course, was Captain America's first sidekick back in the 40s when they were taking on the Nazis.
Sure.
Obviously.
Bucky was his teenage sidekick. I need Bucky's full name, his secret identity, his complete full name, please. That's beginning, first, middle, and last name, please, for Bucky.
This is unbelievable.
Captain American Bucky! You don't have to, you know, Bucky came back in 2005 as Winter Soldier.
You don't have to tell me.
And then took over as Captain America when Steve Rogers was shot. We covered that last time.
Sure.
So he's a very integral part to the Captain America mythos.
Hey, I'm a big Bucky fan.
I know you love Bucky. You'd look good in a Bucky costume. You know what? For Halloween, we should go. You and me should go as Captain America and Bucky. You'd look good as Bucky, I think.
So Bucky is not the black sidekick. That's Falcon,
no,
right?
No, that was the Falcon.
Okay,
come on.
I apologize.
God's sakes, Bean.
They're trying desperately to find women now, but they can't.
1-800-520-1067. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call.
The lines are full.
Yeah, full of ladies.
They're trying to hang out. Oh, no, I'm sorry. We're waiting for ladies.
Ladies
are
calling.
We're looking for ladies, yeah. So it'll
Bucky's
be a while.
Full name, please. That's all you need to know. Also, heads up, Captain America Fest is happening this Sunday at the Golden Apple Comic Book Store on Melrose Avenue, right at Melrose and La Brea. They're going to celebrate the release of the film with the screenwriters will be there signing original posters for the film. You can pick one up. Free comic books, 150 people. The first people there will get free Pink's hot dogs. It's going to be a good time.
The only Pink around that shop, I'll tell you that.
So check it out. Get it if you get a chance. You're good people over there at Golden
Apple.
Still
looking for women. Still trying to
sign women.
Sunday
from 12 to 2, that's happening. So check that out. You know, they're just... So many phone calls, they're having a hard time screening them all.
Sure.
That's what's going on.
Lesbian Chip is out there saying to guys on the phone, well, do you know any women? Do you have a woman you can put on the phone and pretend?
First of all, Chip is not a lesbian.
She's not.
Let's establish that. Let's get that out there.
Who was it that called her that? It was one of our guests.
It was a guest.
Doug Stanhope.
Doug Stanhope, wow. I just don't want Chip to get a bad rap.
Right.
Not that it's bad to be a lesbian, but it's just unfortunate if you're being called a lesbian and you aren't one.
I think Chip is appreciating all the newfound attention from the ladies since we've been on the air with talking about her being a lesbian, by the way. She's loving it. A lot of people are buying her drinks all of a sudden.
I'm sure she's loving it.
Bean has that information firsthand because...
Yes, he does.
I've spoken to Chip about it.
Stop it.
I speak lesbian. Come on.
Red Hot Chili Peppers are going to release a new single on Monday.
Yes.
Brand new RHCP for you fans. I get the sense we may play it once or twice on this particular station.
Well, we do like that band, and we haven't had new music in a while, so this is going to be nice.
Band's official website says, The Adventures of Rain Dance Maggie is the name of the single. The Adventures of Rain Dance Maggie.
I believe it.
Will be on the Chili Peppers' forthcoming 10th studio album, I'm With You. The album is due out on August the 30th, but the new single will be leaked on Monday, so make sure you... get your bucket because it's leaking all over.
It's going to be leaked, is it?
It's going to be leaked. A lot of leaking going on. While we're talking about music, Muse frontman Matt Bellamy and actress Kate Hudson have named their baby boy. Matt tweeted that they have chosen the name Bing.
Bing.
Bing Bellamy. Bing.
As in the search engine from Microsoft?
As
are they getting paid for this?
As in Bing. As in Bing Crosby. And Bing.
Bing.
Bing Bellamy, his name.
They're doing the right thing. They're naming their kid something effed up.
Bing Hahn Bellamy. Actually, his first full name is Bingham. Bingham Hahn Bellamy is his name. Now, there is an actual reason for this. I know sometimes we make fun of the goofed up celebrity names, but Bing was the name of Kurt Russell's father. Kurt Russell, of course, her dad. Not her biological dad, but has been the dad in her life for most of her life. Her dad, Kurt Russell, his dad was named Bing Russell, his father. And so in honor,
family name,
in honor of Kurt's dad, they are naming the baby boy Bing.
All right. It's not going to help the kid not get beat
up. It's not going to help, but at least there is some legitimate motivation behind that as opposed to, I don't know, Apple or Canary or Formica or whatever Gwyneth Paltrow is calling her kids these days. So.
Yeah.
Bing. Bing is kind of cool. You don't hear it a lot, except for the search engine. Maybe the search engine will compound the problem a little bit, but, you know, it's an old school name. And that's how they're rocking it.
But was it, you brought up Bing Crosby. His name wasn't even Bing. It was just a nickname for him. Wasn't his name Harry?
Yeah, his name was Harry. I don't know why they called him Bing.
Maybe. I had to say that, Kevin, before you did.
I don't even know what that is.
Jake Gyllenhaal is researching a role for a new movie called End of Watch, where he plays a cop, and he was doing a ride-along on the streets of Los Angeles this week. That's what they call it when you get to sit in the back of the patrol car or the cruiser and, you know, people... You all right there?
I've done that.
People...
No, that was you getting arrested, Kevin.
No, I've done that. I've ridden along.
You ride along with the cops, and they take you on an evening shift, and you get to see what it's like to be out there in the streets.
I beat up a minority.
No, you did not.
No, it's just a joke.
And I guess you hope against hope that nothing really too exciting happens while you're with the cops, right? Well, unfortunately for Jake Gyllenhaal, he went for a ride-along on Wednesday, and the guys he was with were called out for a gang-related shooting. Apparently, the victim caught a bullet in the lip.
Oh, no.
And in the arm. Wasn't life-threatening, but Jake said it was a little scary nonetheless to show up and to see somebody who had suffered bullet shot wounds.
Well, that's a little scary.
Jake said, it was all, it all turned out well, though, because I got to beat up a minority.
He didn't say that.
He got that going for it. That's good.
No one in their right mind would say that.
Apparently, everybody gets to do that when you ride along. And Shaquille O'Neal may be out of a job when it comes to the NBA, but he's not out of a regular job. He, according to Daily Variety, will be joining Turner Sports to become a basketball analyst along with the current crew of Kenny Smith, Ernie Johnson, and Charles Barkley.
That better not cut down on Charles Barkley's time.
I think that...
I love him.
Shaq and Chuckles are going to have a good time together. I think there's going to be a lot of good chemistry between those two.
All right.
They both have good senses of humor.
That's terrible.
That's what I said, too. I think those guys are going to have a lot of fun together. Christina Hendricks from Mad Men. Just been cast in a new independent film called Struck by Lightning. It's not particularly interesting that she's doing a film, but I thought it was interesting that the film was written by and stars Chris Colfer from Glee, who plays Kurt on that show.
No kidding.
He wrote a movie, and now they're making it.
Wow.
This kid's got a lot of talent. He can sing. He can dance.
No kidding.
He can act. He can write. Kid's got a lot going on, that Chris Colfer. So,
a lot more than any of us, tell you that.
I think we have an answer to my trivia question. I think Karina is on the line. Karina?
Yes.
Are you a Captain America fan, Karina?
Yes.
Did your boyfriend hand you the phone?
No, my dad.
Oh, Karina! You're ruining it for everyone! You're supposed to lie and say no.
Yeah, it's me.
Yes, it's you. You're the comic fan.
Too late.
Ralph, I told you we already had the one girl fangirl out there who won earlier today. What do you want us to do?
Sweet. I don't think I'm even going to give Karina the ticket.
You don't have the choice.
She didn't know the answer. Her father knew the answer.
No, I knew it.
She knew it.
All right, what's Bucky's full name?
James Buchanan Barnes.
James Buchanan Barnes, that's right. That's why they call him Bucky. His middle name is Buchanan.
Thanks, Dad.
Congratulations, Karina. You and your father are going to see Captain America, the First Avenger at the Red Carpet World Premiere next week. Hold on, we're going to give you all the details, okay?
Okay, thank you.
I'm guessing your father's not even going to take you. He's going to
stop it.
He said you call.
People have to ruin it for everyone.
Why wouldn't she lie?
Karina should have lied. Hey, screw Carmageddon. Come out to see me this weekend, Saturday night, at the John Lovitz Podcast Theater up at Universal City Walk, 10 p.m. Saturday night. Me, Kevin Smith, and our show, Hollywood Babylon. You can get tickets at BabbleOnRalph or BabbleOnKev.com. We'd love to see you come out. Have a good time with us. Today's celebrity birthdays, Terry O'Quinn from Lost. He's 59 years old today. Forrest Whitaker turns 50. Brigitte Nielsen is 48. Jason Bonham, rock drummer and son of legendary drummer John Bonham, is 45 years old. Chai Cheng of Deftones Our thoughts go out to Chai and his family as he is struggling. He's in a coma right now. He had that bad car accident, but he is 41 years old today. Scott Foley of Felicity is 39. Brian Austin Green turns 38. And Ray Toro of My Chemical Romance is 34 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
So many things given away on today's Kevin and Bean Show. We've already hooked up with Blink 182 tickets. We already hooked you up with Captain America World Premiere tickets. Now we're going to take care of you if you want to go to LA Rising and not just see the show on July 30th at the Coliseum with Rage Against the Machine, Muse, and Rise Against, but also hang out with the bands at a pre-show barbecue. You get all of that at 1-800-520-1067. What are we playing this time around, Kevin?
I'm Dave.
I'm Mike.
And with our powers combined, we are El Orchestra de la Raza. Si se puede!
We're going to go to the phone. All right. Noted.
Hey, guys. Hey, guys, might there be an abbreviated version of that in our future?
Is that a no?
Do it yourself.
Nope. All right, Orchestra de la Raza, this is where you guys are going to be doing the instrumental parts or orchestral parts of songs by, this time around, Rage Against the Machine. And all the listener on the phone is going to have to do is tell us what Rage song you guys are performing with your mouths. Do I have that correct?
Our mouths.
Right, and again, they're going to be doing the musical part, not the singing or the chorus or anything like that. It's the actual instruments.
It wouldn't be much of a game if we did lyrics with our mouths, Kevin.
I'm just trying to clarify.
That's an excellent point. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Who is our first contestant? And by the way, I should say, we only have one pair of tickets for the LA Rising show and barbecue, so there will be a drawing at the end. So if you get it right, you are in the drawing. Then Lisa will decide who wins.
All right, I don't have any names, but because our phone system isn't working, what's your name?
Hello.
Hi. Well,
hi, what's your name?
Monica.
Monica, all right. Monica, you ready for the Orchestra de la Raza?
As I can be.
Good luck.
Wow, now, but now, but now,
brown,
now,
All right. Got it. Thank you.
Wow. All right. New Monica, thank you. Well done. You are in the drawing. Guys, the orchestra guys, when they go ahead and guess it, if they don't wait till you're done, you can you're done with that song. You stop and we move on, okay?
New rule. You guys wait till we're done.
Once the awesome train gets rolling, you can't stop us till we're done.
We thought we made the rules.
Oh, yeah.
That's a bummer. All right. Hello, who's this? Hello.
This is Daniel.
Daniel, hi. Welcome to the game. It's Orchestra de la Raza. Tell us what Rage Against the Machine song this is as soon as possible.
All right.
Bam! 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 Bam!
Boom, 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 boom.
That's a giveaway. Come on.
Boom, 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 boom,
boom, boom, boom.
I don't think you've given him enough.
Yeah, that's fine. That's good. He's either going to know it or not.
That was an amazing rendition.
Of what song?
With Rolling Down Rodeo?
No. You can, but you'd be wrong.
That was pretty simple. That was Killing in the Name. Sorry about that, but thank you. Guys, I thought you did a pretty good job on that one.
Thanks, brother.
Too long, but pretty good job. All right. Hello, what's your name? Hello.
Sarah?
Yeah, hi, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
I'm sorry, we don't have names, unfortunately, because our phone system isn't working, so you have to tell us your name. Okay, are you ready for the Orchestra de la Raza?
Yes, I am.
There we go.
Ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, 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 ba-ba-dum,
ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum,
ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum,
ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum,
ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum,
ba-ba-dum,
ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum,
ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum,
ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum,
ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum,
ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum,
ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum,
ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum,
ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-
We just have one person so far. Let's see if Mike gets lucky, too. Hey, Mike, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ready to play?
Hey, good morning, guys. Yes, I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Orchestra de la Raza.
That's plenty. That's fine. Thank you, boys. That's fine.
Thank you. I have to turn him down because it won't stop.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Do you know the name of the song?
Oh my God, that was so good, and I'm gonna. I always laugh at people for not knowing it, but I'm gonna have to guess. I'm gonna say Freedom.
Yes!
What a lucky guess. That is correct. It is Freedom.
Nice.
Nice guess. Hold on. All right, should we do the drawing or do one more?
I think we have the strength for maybe just one more.
Okay. All right.
All right, guys, this is your last chance and possibly your last appearance ever of El Orchestra de la Raza, so make it good.
Let's go to Edwin. Hi, Edwin.
Hey, what's going on?
You ready for the orchestra?
Yes, sir.
Good luck. Should already have it if you're a race fan. Come on, you should already have that. All right, guys.
Thank you, guys. That's fine. Let's see what he's got.
I hear it in my head. I'm just trying to think of the name. Is it?
Oh, what's that one called?
You're as good at names of songs as I am, which is to say terrible.
Is it Bomb Track?
No, that's People of the Sun.
By the way, there is no band easier to do this with.
Yeah. I agree. Right? I agree. Yeah.
Because the beginnings of their songs are so monumental that you can recognize them immediately. Yeah.
I hear it in my head.
Yeah, they're hookerific. Listen, I have great news for you, Lisa May. The pressure is off. I am being told by producer Alex that we have, in fact, two pairs of tickets to give away for LA Rising and the Pre-Show Barbecue. So both of the people who got them right are going to be going.
I'm so excited.
Nicely done, both of you.
I'm so excited.
Monica and Alex.
Thank you.
Way to go.
LA Rising.
Yeah.
Thank you, Orchestra.
Yeah.
El Orchestra de la Raza. Si.
Time for our final look at showbiz news for the week. Here's Ralph Garman on the Kevin DeBean Show.
Heard you guys chatting about Harry Potter earlier.
Yep. Trying to get people's opinion on where we are, how to catch up, where does it start.
How much money is this movie going to make?
How much money? All money.
This just in, last night, Harry Potter was released at midnight in about 3,800 screens around these great United States of ours. It made $44 million.
Oh, my gosh.
Last night at midnight. This is just the midnight shows.
That doesn't include, ridiculous. Technically, like, the weekend is Friday
the midnight,
day.
12 o'clock at midnight when those movies started?
Right.
That's how much money it made.
Wow.
For those, just those shows. Okay. I'm not talking about 6 a.m. this morning. I'm not talking about 7 a.m. this morning, 8 o'clock, 9, 10, noon,
just
1,
midnight.
2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 4 o'clock,
I think we
5
get it.
O'clock, 5:30, 5:45, 6 o'clock, 6:30, 6:45,
we get
7,
that, right.
7:15.
Uh-huh. Get it?
I'm talking just midnight.
$44 million.
Wow.
Well, it's because it was the only time it's ever going to show, right?
Craziness. Crazy to the nest.
You want to know how it ends? I do.
Well, you already told
us. Let's talk about it.
Thank you.
Stories went around yesterday that Mila Kunis wasn't going to be able to actually make good on her promise to go with to the Marine Corps ball with Marine Sergeant Scott Moore. She agreed to after he staged a YouTube video. He posted it saying, would you please go with me? And Justin Timberlake, her co-star of Friends with Benefits, sort of goaded her into saying yes while they were doing press for the movie. Because he was kidding her and said, look, you do it for your country and blah, blah, blah. And she said, yes, of course, I'll do it. Then yesterday it said she had a problem with her scheduling because she's making a movie in the fall and she wouldn't be able to go. Well, apparently those reports were false. And Mila wants everyone to know that she absolutely is still going to the Marine Corps ball with Scott Moore. So, game on, Sarge.
Right.
Do us all proud, Sarge. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Time to storm those beaches. time to move in the heavy artillery into the valley, if you know what I'm saying.
I don't think
I'm not sure that's his plan, but although he hopes probably.
That better be his plan.
I think it's time for the troops to bring up the rear. In military parlance.
I think we understand.
I don't think you get what I'm saying.
I think I do.
Meanwhile, there's a female Marine out there who has just posted on YouTube a request that Justin Timberlake, her co-star from that film, take her to the Marine Corps ball. Because, after all, if he's so eager that Mila should do it for her country, why should Justin be any lesser?
He kept telling her to do it?
Yes. Why should he be any less patriotic?
All right.
I think she's got an excellent point. I think she should bring up the rear, too. No offense. No offense.
Sort of.
I think she should drop a
Now I can't even understand.
Drop a few grenades in the foxhole. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah.
That's real talk right there, man.
Let Justin.
Got it.
Put on his bayonet.
Got it. Understand.
And skewer the enemy. You know
what
I'm saying?
I do have
it. With the bayonet.
I understand. You
got it. No, we're fine. Yes. We're fine. We're caught up.
I don't think you get what I'm saying.
Pretty sure we do.
Meanwhile, Justin Timberlake and Scarlett Johansson have been spending time together. Hollywood couple? In Touch magazine says they had dated before, and now they have been secretly seeing and texting each other, and apparently are rekindling those flames.
What must it be like for the other members of NSYNC to go, at one point, my career was exactly where his is? What happened?
He had talent.
Yeah. He moved forward.
Shocking.
He does all right for
himself. He's got his pick of any woman in the world, doesn't he?
He really does.
He's all women.
I mean, imagine what that would... Your head would explode if you were sitting there on a Friday night going, I could hit it with Jessica Biel again, I guess, if I wanted, but why not go out with Scarlett Johansson tonight instead? That's his life.
Yeah. He has a wheel, like we have the wheel of bad animal voices. He just spins it, and whoever it lands on, he just gives him a call.
The wheel of good vagina.
Little text.
Right.
See you at 10.
Yeah. Hey, don't make any plans for August 20th. August 20th. Apparently, that is the date Kim Kardashian and Chris Humphries are getting married. So, I don't know if you got your invitations yet, but
I didn't get open. I didn't get my invitation. I'm not sure I'm going to.
New York Post says they're walking down the aisle in just 5 short weeks. And apparently, they're also going to Vegas together for dueling bachelorette parties at the same time at the end of the month.
Who gives a damn?
They're probably being paid $500,000 to appear at,
right? No, they will be paid in separate different clubs to have their bachelor and bachelorette parties at different locations. It's a huge idea, mistake, by the way, to go with that idea of having them at the same time in the same city.
Yeah,
you do not want to run the risk of running across your wife or your future husband's bachelor or bachelorette party
but
while
you know
you're
they're there.
It's worse. Yeah, you know you're there.
Saying,
you're looking over your shoulder
all
the time.
I agree.
Next thing you know, you're stumbling down the strip. You got a whore on each arm.
Sure.
And next thing you know, there she is with 3 black dudes.
Mm-hmm. Happens.
And she'll probably get anything she wants for her wedding just for a tweet about it, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Get the cake, get the dress, get the room, whatever she wants. All she has to do is tweet about it. That's 1 million people. They figure it's worth it.
Wow.
Craziness.
I didn't get paid for my bachelor party.
Yeah, you paid.
A lot.
You paid a lot for your bachelor party, I'm sure.
Yes, I did.
Sharon Osbourne's a happy gal. Turns out that she had her wedding band stolen from her in 2004 when burglars broke into the Osbourne family home. South Yorkshire Police Department said it probably didn't look good in getting her diamonds back. However, 7 years later, they gave her a phone call and said, hey, remember that that 1.5-carat diamond ring you got stolen 7 years ago? Got it. Found it.
She must have thought that was a joke.
She must have.
They don't find rings 7 years later.
Reportedly, Sharon burst into tears of joy after seeing it. Turns out they busted a large burglary ring and some of the property was recovered.
Wow.
Those are the worst burglars ever. How long does it take to fence a ring?
And you've had it for 7 years.
You could have laundered that money somehow, couldn't you?
Isn't that part of stealing, is moving stuff?
Yeah. Supposed to be. You're not supposed to hang on to it for that reason. The cops show up, and then you're in trouble.
Come on now.
Yeah. And Jake Gyllenhaal, he is a dude. He is a man. He is a man among men. I don't know if you saw the episode of Man vs. Wild.
Did not. Was he on one?
Yeah. You remember how Will Ferrell did one?
I remember that.
Traveled with Bear Grylls and showed
it was funny.
That he didn't want to eat the reindeer eyeballs or whatever it was he had going on. Jake Gyllenhaal joined Bear Grylls in frigid Iceland. I thought Iceland was green and Greenland was icy. Is Iceland frigid?
It is cold. Very cold in the winter, sure.
Yeah, this story says there was a desolate, frigid wasteland that he traveled along with Bear Grylls. and had to shimmy across a cavern on a rope.
Here's what I know. If Bear Grylls is someplace, I don't want to be
That's
there.
Right. I want to watch it in the comfort of my own temperature-controlled home on the big screen.
I don't want to be on a rope over a cavern.
Eating salt and vinegar almonds. I don't want to eat reindeer eyeballs or shimmy across a chasm
shimmy.
On a rope.
I don't want to shimmy
with
anywhere.
Arctic winds blowing up my dickies. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But Jake Gyllenhaal apparently Bear Grylls said he was in amazing shape and acquitted himself very admirably when it came to surviving in the wilderness. Then Jake comes home and getting ready for a movie, he does a ride-along with the cops, runs into a gang-related shooting, and helps him out there. What is it with this guy? Hey, overachievers!
He's a superhero.
Stop it!
You've been asking, how come there aren't real superheroes? There he is.
The Prince of Persia,
that dude.
Speaking of real-life superheroes, I don't know if you guys saw Alphas this week, the new series on Sci-Fi.
Did not, but it looks good.
There's a rerun of it tonight. If you missed it, you can catch it tonight. I highly recommend it. I really enjoyed it.
What's the other one that we love that's coming?
Torchwood?
Torchwood.
Torchwood also? Yeah. Good summer. Good summer for science fiction.
Great show.
Check that stuff out. Today's celebrity birthdays, Terry O'Quinn from Lost is 59 years old today. Drummer Marky Ramone of the Ramones is 55. I didn't know there was a Ramone still alive.
Marky. Yeah,
Marky
they're an
Ramone.
Endangered species,
he
that's
goes
for
by
sure.
Marky Mark. No?
Wow.
Really?
Really?
All right, I'll file it myself.
You said, you asked
for
really.
I'll
file
you.
It myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, he the said nerve. It. The nerve indeed, sir.
I'm putting myself in the file.
He goes now, by you, Marky Mark?
You said Marky.
Were you thinking yeah. that we would think that it was Mark Wahlberg? That he was also Marky Ramone? Is that what the
really?
Comedy was
supposed
to be? Are
you going to plumb the depths of this comedy?
Really? I'm trying to figure out what the... I know that it failed. We all know that it failed.
I don't know if we need an autopsy on this failure.
I'm trying to figure out what was intended, though.
Let's bury the body and get on with our lives.
Fail! Epic fail.
Marky Ramone is 55.
Who else's birthday?
He was with the Funky Bunch, right? See, that would have worked a little better, right?
Just marginally better.
Just not much.
Forrest Whitaker is 50 years old. Brigitte Nielsen is 48. Jason Bonham of the drumming Bonham family, he is 45. Che Cheng of Deftones is 41 years old. We wish Che and his family all the best. He's currently in a coma due to a car accident, but everybody's hoping he will come out of it and heal up. Scott Foley, 39 years old today. Brian Austin Green celebrates his 38th birthday. And Ray Toro of My Chemical Romance is 34 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday. We have comedian Bill Burr on the program.
What?
An actual funny guy.
I can't. By Billy Bill, doesn't he?
Don't guard that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Cincinnati bow tie.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
That's pretty goddamn impressive.
Roll another one.
Look at that, yeah.
Just add another one.
Vagina dentata.
This seems to be about to quit.
What's that? That's not
I spent the afternoon making a list of famous Armenians. Eric Bogosian, Andre Agassi, Jerry the Shark Tarkanian. That is all.
Roll another one. Time to release the Kraken. Just like the
balls are sensational.
This one seems to be about to end.
Kim and the horse he rode in on.
I don't have a single cent.
We've seen women do some very nutty stuff.
Illogical things that a man would never do.
I don't know if that guy knows what he's talking about.
Just pass it around.
Unbelievable.
Next stop's the Nut Hut.
I used to be legit. In fact, I was too legit. I was too legit to quit. But now, I'm not legit. I'm unlegit. And for that reason, I must quit.
Man, there's not enough weed in the world to make that show funny anymore.
Okay, we're done. Thank you.
This is not going good for you.
I'm not impressed.
You're the biggest
assholes I've ever met.
Leave the office right now. We're done.
So, go to our offices?
Get the f*** out!
Okay, so you want to sleep on it. So do we, I think.
Get out of my f***ing office.
Whoa.
Wow.
Language.
This is an environment of welcoming, and you should just get the hell out of here.